get on this record. The world is getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Prince.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gays and grannies, to the Sunday edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in Edmonton, British Columbia. I'm being broadcast from shakewaveradio.com. I'm also being simulcast on Twisty Toes Radio Network. Thanks for joining us today. Always a pleasure to have you. Our station will get money from anywhere but here. I say every week, please, if you can support the station in any way, shape, or form, even a cup of coffee a month, we would be appreciative of the people. Every time we bring in these programs to you, I would like to start the show off also thanking my community, because I would end up forgetting at the end of the show. Thanks, Steve, for what you're doing, for coming to me every week.
Roger. Sorry there, Barry. I just realized I forgot to mute my microphone there, so probably heard everything.
We've been doing this for so many years now that we just can't stop. Great information to bring to the table. Welcome back in, Roger. And what do you have in mind today, my friend?
Oh, gee, you said an hour. You didn't say 24 hours.
No, you said an hour, so let's prioritize it.
What's on my mind? What's on my mind is multiple things. Ukraine, Russia, Taiwan, China, Joe Biden, and the fact that you condemn their sit out and sunbathe in the North and South Poland.
You didn't say
he's on the list, but it's not within the top. I wouldn't give him the satisfaction of the
top. I think he belongs in the top.
You live in Canada, of course you do.
I know.
Which is why he's in the top. Yeah. And besides that, Joe Bob is about to be another huge distraction. What I talk about on the show so many times and what I constantly tell people is that door number two, door number three, door number four, they're all in the same theater and they all play in the same theater. Let's take this in a real quick summary of what we've seen. Okay, we saw vaccine come out, we saw mandates come out, we saw people start to push back, all of a sudden door number one slam shut, door number two opened up. What was door number two? That was Canadian firms. And everybody in the world was just in awe of, and I totally agree, with these freaking heroes, and it drew everybody's attention. And what weren't they thinking about? Vaccines. And then about the time that started to unwind, door number two closed, door number three opened up, and now we're looking at the Ukraine and Russia. And I'm going to tell you something, and we'll get into that a little bit deeper. This is a summary. That's about to close down pretty quick. I'm not saying in the next day or two, but over the next couple of weeks at the most, that'll start to shut down. And they're already prepping door number three. What's door number three? That is Taiwan and China. And once that fizzles, which it will fizzle, there's already door number four in the works. And this is what's going to surprise a whole lot of people, but you need to stop and do a little research. What is all over alternative media? What's even in the mainstream media? What's in the New York freaking Times?
what is happening right now is people are going back and saying, oh, you know that Hunter Biden stuff? The laptop with the pornography on it and basically him and his dad selling America out to the Chinese and the Russians? Well, that was actually true. Why the hell would you be saying that about Joe Bob 2 years into his term when you are the paper, one of the newspapers and the mainstream media that said this is a bunch of lies, it's Russian disinformation, it never happened? So you're looking at door number four being prepared. And it will be right around November of this year when the Republicans in the United States take back over the House and the Senate. And in retribution for what they did to Trump or tried to do to Trump, they will impeach Joe Biden. And it will cause all kinds of havoc across the United States and amongst most of our allies as well.
It definitely so there's would my ruffle synopsis. A few feathers. It would ruffle a few feathers. I don't know if we'll get to the fall with the way that I see countries pulling away from the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency right now, Roger. I think that should be something of concern to everybody, wouldn't you say?
I would tell you it's not going to be a global issue. I will tell you that you are seeing it being used as a stick to intimidate Joe Bob. I will tell you that it will be – you may see some try it. It won't be all that successful. It's too well ingrained. And even if Saudi Arabia was to do this for Chinese money, go away from the petrodollar and go towards the China dollar, if they do that – the biggest markets on the planet just about is guess who? And the last thing they want to do is burn bridges. So they can talk a big talk, but walking the walk is going to be a whole lot tougher. Right now, Joe Bob flinches way too easily, and they know that. Joe Bob doesn't want to look bad on the world stage, and there's too many leaders out there who understand that he's a wimp, and they are doing everything they can to publicly intimidate him. And in some cases, it's actually working.
Well, he's not the biggest clown in the world, that's for sure. We got that guy up here with Biden doesn't got fancy socks, man. We got fancy socks up here, Roger.
I would tend to argue with that simply because, and I'm not saying America's bigger, badder, better, faster. What I'm saying is there is more influence from America across the planet than there is from Canada. Let's start it off with you guys have one-tenth of the population. Let's finish it up with the United States has the number one military still on the planet, and where does Canada rank in there? So, again, when you say Joe Bob, you're talking about somebody who not only influences 10 times the Canadian population, but either pisses off or makes laugh more enemies or allies than Canada can.
Canadian Army could take on Greenland and we'd lose, and they don't have a military, Roger. So.
That kind of
says it about our military, right? What a joke.
I wouldn't say it's a joke, but when Trudeau does things behind everybody's back, like inviting the Chinese military into Canada to train.
Yeah, it's just foreign relations, buddy. Come on.
Yeah, it's just foreign relations. having a hostile military force right above our border. Oh, but that's just foreign relations, Roger. Hush up now. Come on.
Yeah, you're a conspiracy think. You actually think our government would collude with China to undermine Canada, man? Come on. See, you've been listening to too many of those crazy radio shows that people are talking about online, Roger.
You mean the ones I do?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I get notices on your shows now. I do. Warning me that this site, it says, what did it say? This site has been caught repeatedly sharing false information Proceed with caution, I think, was the word they used.
No, that's exactly right. And the thing of it is, the thing of it is, this is from their fact checkers who have been proved unequivocally to be the biggest liars on the planet. Wait a minute. These are the fact checkers that said, hold on, listen to me. These are the fact checkers that said Hunter Biden's laptop isn't real. It's all a lie. Yep. It's Russian propaganda. Those are the same people saying, we're not telling the truth. Okay, I got
it. Well, you're definitely ruffling some feathers over there, Roger, because you got their attention. I've never seen that before on your post, but now it's there. So keep up the
it's
good work.
For everybody.
I don't know if they're posting on mine yet. I haven't seen that kind of stuff. I know they've.
No. I mean, everybody that sees our stuff. It's
yeah, yeah. Well. It's there, and I got to cry. Congratulate you. You've made the big time, my friend. When do I get those notices? What am I doing wrong, Roger? Man, I put stuff there all the time. But, I'm surprised that actually some of the stuff I put up here in the last week they haven't taken down. I wonder why sometimes, because I'm posting some pretty controversial stuff, and it seems to stay up there. But what they did take off my page was the Pfizer dumps. Those have disappeared.
I would tell you that if you want to get that tagged on everything you're doing, then what you need to do is invite me on every week instead of twice a month.
Well, I know.
Okay, hold on.
I'll take my chances.
Hold on. We were talking about military strength, okay? There is something that comes out once a year, okay? And it is called, and in 2022, it's the military strength ranking. And what it basically is the kill power of the military of each nation. And there's 142 they rate, because anybody below that basically doesn't have a military, or the military they have is something that would probably make the Boy Scouts laugh. Okay, now I would like you out of 142 nations, I would like you to guess where Canada sits. And it is actually in the 142. Where do you think it sits?
141?
23.
Okay. That's where they rate us.
Hold on.
I don't know how they do that.
They do that by a lot of things. They judge your amount of military vehicles, your state of preparedness, the amount of people you have on active service. I mean, it's very thorough. Canada is 23. The Ukraine is 22. And Taiwan is 21. And if you go all the way to the top, the United States is 1. Russia is 2. China is 3. Oh. So you guys are 23 out of 142 rated nations. I wouldn't say it's what you would call a totally ineffective military. It isn't. It's just run like by an idiot like ours is. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. And if it continues, it'll be worse and worse and worse as time goes on. I mean, we're the only country in the world that goes by the used F-18s off another country when everybody else is getting rid of them. And what do? We go buy Australia's used F-18s. I mean, come on, man.
I will tell you something, and this kind of led right into this. I would tell you that if you look right now, the biggest targets for vaccination across the planet are global militaries. Right now, if you take a look, almost everybody in the Chinese military has been vaccinated. If you take a look, 90% of all Russian military personnel have been vaccinated. If you take a look, 95% of all Ukrainians have been vaccinated. You know that Joe Bob basically told the American military, you will get vaccinated or else. And a lot of them have flipped the bird to him and walked away. So he's basically decimating what is still considered to be the number one military on the planet, but for how much longer? Canada is not in any better position than the United States or Ukraine or anywhere else. Why are they hitting the militaries so hard? Why are so much of the militaries of all of these consequential countries vaccinated? I'm going to tell you. If you're going to step in, okay, when the world goes into total chaos and you're going to take over the planet? The biggest thing standing in front of you are the militaries of sovereign nations. They will rise up against you and they will push back. But if you are smart enough to step in prior to that and ensure that a vast majority, if not a totality of these militaries have been vaccinated with something you know is going to be extremely detrimental to their health over the next couple of years, you are literally decimating the global military structure. Intentionally. This is what is happening. When the average is 90 to 95% of the militaries of every consequential country on the planet have been vaccinated, there is absolutely no reason for that. And any ruler of any country, knowing the damage and the decimation that can be caused by these vaccines, would absolutely tell their military, don't you dare go near that. When we need you healthy. Stay away from these vaccines. But how much are these leaders in lockstep with Klaus Schwab and the WEF and the Great Reset? How much are they in lockstep? Look at what they're doing to their own militaries.
Yep. And it makes perfect sense if that was the end game, Roger. And it, you're absolutely correct. I was listening to one group of people there that were I wish I had the video up in front of me. I'm sure you're aware of it. Testimony from doctors inside the U.S. military on rises and disorders they're seeing in the U.S. military based on the fact, like you said, 90% of them have been vaccinated. But stuff like 1,000% increase in neurological disorders. The list is just absolutely mind-boggling. It's all happened. Well, it's just a coincidence, of course.
Wait a second.
This is just a natural progression of society, Roger, that all these disorders are all of a sudden are showing up, but nothing to do with the jab. Can't be anything to do with the jab. But the list was absolutely mind-boggling, my friend, and I know you're aware of it. Go ahead.
There are three whistleblowers who had access to the Department of Defense database.
Right.
What they have done is they have gone through the database, and this is not just military people. These are people all across the United States. And what they have found is the massive increase in stillbirths, the massive increase in cancer, the massive increase in autoimmune deficiencies, the massive increase. Look, there was a doctor in I think it was Italy, who told the world, he literally told the world, he said, after your first shot, and you've heard me say this, I know you have because I've said it on your show before. He told the world, he said, after your first shot, he said, your immune system takes a hit. After your second shot, it takes a bigger hit. After your third shot, you need to go and see a doctor, or you need to go to a hospital and be tested, and you're going to find out that you have AIDS. Now, he doesn't mean the type that's transmitted due to promiscuous sexual contact. What he's talking about is VAIDS, and VAIDS is vaccine-acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And what this doctor was saying to the world is anybody who has had three or more shots from the COVID-19 vaccines will have VAIDS, which means going forward, it won't take much to kill them because their immune system is literally debunked. It's gone. Right. Now, this doctor just happened to die 2 weeks after he put this out. This doctor was a world-renowned doctor who had won a Nobel Prize in medicine.
Yep. I read that report, Roger, and I also read the reports about what we just talked about here a second ago. And the one report that I read, I forget the name of the doctor, but there's multiple doctors speaking out against this right now. I had our immune system at about 25% efficiency after your booster shot. So after three shots, you're down to 25% of what your immune system should be in your body. And, of course, any kind of sickness is now going to kill people. And that, of course, would be a perfect scenario for them, wouldn't it?
Well, they could. Perfect. Nobody would blame it on COVID-19, and nobody would. Well, they could blame it on, but nobody would blame it on the vaccine, because people wouldn't be dying from the vaccine. They'd be dying from things that a normal immune system would have no problems fighting back against, like the yearly flu, like a cold, like pneumonia. There are people who die from pneumonia, but if you got 1 million people that get pneumonia and 15,000 die. Now we're talking about, if you got 1 million people that get pneumonia and they've all had three shots or more, you're going to see 950,000 of them die.
Yeah. Well, pneumonia is one of our biggest killers anyways, isn't it, Roger?
Pneumonia is big, and so's actually the flu. What most people don't understand is that the flu globally kills hundreds of thousands of people every year. And again, you're talking about 8 billion people. So when you say 100,000 people, we've been trained to believe, oh my God, the world's coming to an end. But 300,000 or 400,000 people globally out of 8 billion isn't even a drop in the bucket. It's like a wish for a drop in the bucket. But at the same time, people need to understand that without it, well, the reason a lot more people aren't dying is because they do have an immune system. And once you've gotten rid of the immune system, you're going to see people dropping dead all across the planet. And right. They will be absolutely right in stating that the vaccine didn't kill them. It didn't. Right. It just put them in a position where right. everything else could kill them.
And you'll see, of course, you'll see the elderly adversely affected by this. As right. anytime in society, a flu comes into society, it's always the elders that die off. But that goes without saying. That's been going on for hundreds of years. You know, the young survive and the elderly pass away. Well, there's nothing changed, folks. It's just a natural thing that happens, because people that are older, of course, are weaker immune systems and weaker bodies, and they got core mobility factors, and they've had things in their life that are affecting them now. As opposed to a young person. But it's always the elders that die off. Even with COVID here, we look at the numbers, Roger, and it's always between 75 and 85, a majority of the deaths. Go ahead.
The comorbidities right now are going to be the killers. And these are things that you've managed to live with, but they've been a problem for you for a very long time, like asthma. Okay, a lot of people have asthma, but they manage to live with it. Once your immune system is gone, okay, and it's not just your immune system. This is going to weaken your heart. This is going to be – look, there are coroners in the United States that – and there's videos on YouTube about this and BitChute. And what these coroners are finding when they do their when they prepare the bodies for burial, they go in, they drain all the blood out, the whole nine yards. These are things they have to do. And what they're finding out in a lot of these vaccinated people who have died are stringy clots that could be as long as a person's leg. They're flat out stating. They pushed the alarm bell. They're stating they've never seen anything like this before. And they're only seeing this in those who have been vaccinated. And what did they die from? A lot of these people died from, guess what? If you got a blood clot in your body that's 2 feet long, what the hell do you think killed them?
Absolutely, Roger. You know, one of the smoking guns we're seeing now is the reports that are coming out from insurance companies, because hide. No, I read a couple this week, Roger, and I forget the name of the company that was I read, but they're reporting. They have a kind of a scale for people dying every year and the age groups of those people, right? Well, yep. I forget every age group that I looked at. They experienced, one of them, 64,000 excess deaths last year, right after the vaccination program started, as opposed to the years before. And I was looking and reading this and trying to study it, but what we're finding is they can't hide this data, and they're reporting an incredible increase in deaths that we're not hearing about on mainstream media in any shape or form.
Not only that, but the same insurance companies are really pushing this back. Most people need to consider. don't come to us for your life insurance after you die, because what you took was an experimental drug and you gave your consent. We didn't give you consent to use it, so don't come to us to collect. And this is what they're trying to push forward now. It's like all of these people dropping dead, their insurance is like, screw you, we ain't paying. So what you're going to end up with is insurance companies giving real numbers out at a higher and higher rate, to the point where the insurance companies, if they're not already, will soon be the enemy of those who are trying to kill us off.
Absolutely, Roger. Absolutely. That's exactly what's going to come, because it's just, you can't hide this data. And if people start to hear about this and they put it inside their little brains and roll it around, they'll all come to the same conclusion that they've been duped. That day is coming, buddy, and you're going to see anger in society like we've never seen before, ever.
It's already starting.
I see it. I know, see it. You know how many people I talk to every day, Roger, now that are having vaccine regret? I talk to them all the time. People are going, oh, I understand once I've done this to my body, you can't get it out. Is that correct? I said, yeah, that's what I've read and I understand from doctors. So what, this is stuck in my body forever? Well, basically, that's the truth. I've heard a couple of people that have told me about natural remedies that are out there that do have an effect on it, Roger. But I think I'm correct in saying that once it's in your body, it's there forever. Am I correct in saying that?
Well, I don't know if it's there forever. There are some pine needle things and some other things
that's what
that
I've heard about. Pine needle tea people are using.
Yes. And supposedly they will attack and flush the body of spike proteins. But, and again, it's not. Do you remember me saying about a year and a half on your show? And everybody, I got more feedback from this, and people were telling me I was nuts. I was telling everybody these vaccines were never to cure you from anything. They were to give you something. Mm. What were they to give you? They were to give you a spike protein. And let me tell you something else. I was constantly telling people that these spike proteins would change your DNA. So going forward, what was humanity going to look like and how long would it last? And everybody told me I was nuts. There's no way that these spike proteins could change human DNA, except that there was a study, a scientific peer-reviewed study that came out not too long ago that said as soon as you get the COVID-19 vaccine and it hits your liver immediately converts it to spike DNA. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I thought it couldn't happen. I thought it never happened. I thought that didn't do that. Another thing we've been lied to about. If you can change the DNA in a human body, it not only means that going forward, you have no clue how your body is going to react to anything anymore. It also means that when you and your wife have a little snuggly, and you end up with a baby, that baby has any changes or any damage that happened to your DNA is passed on to that child, and that child will, if the child lives, will pass it on to their children. So what we are looking at here is the possible restructuring of humanity. Gee, where have I heard that before?
Eugenics 2.0, Roger, is what we're looking at. And these plans have been in place for a long, long time, and here we are, full bore into it.
These plans have been in place for at least a generation, 20 years. And anybody who tells you that the animal trials were skipped over for these vaccinations to get them approved because it was an emergency, because the virus we were looking at made the death plague of, you know, the early 1900s, 1918, 1917, you know, the death plague that killed millions across the damn planet, the Spanish flu, things like that. They were telling us this would make that look like a walk in the park.
Boy, so did they terrify people.
We had, and which is absolutely not true at all, but What it did was it allowed them to get a vaccine approved for emergency use that had not gone through animal trials. I'm going to tell you that's a crock of crap. I'm going to tell you that these vaccines went through animal trials and human trials probably 5 to 10 years ago, maybe a little less in some cases, but definitely went through animal and human trials to prove that they were going to do exactly what they wanted them to do, and they know what they're going to do, which is exactly why they had to get approval not to show you the results of the animal trials by telling you they never did them. Want to bet they did?
I know they did, Roger. I know they did. Yeah. And any animal they tried it on, it died. So they knew they couldn't have that exposed to the public.
After massive structural changes to the body and the internal organs.
Exactly. But, you know, if that got out to the public, holy smokes, their whole charade would come crashing down. And the fact that they could bypass this with a charade like they have in society. I mean, I've looked at the numbers in Canada, Roger, and I say this to people all the time, that the number of deaths that we've experienced here in the last 2 years is par with everything else we've seen for the last 10 years in Canada. There's no major spikes right now, but now that the vaccination programs are in place, yeah, we're starting to see an increase in deaths all over the place in Canada. I know 4 people now, Roger, that have taken the booster and died. 4 people, 2 of them in Kelowna and 2 of them in Prince Rupert. The lady in Prince Rupert that died, found her on the floor of her kitchen at 6:30 in the morning, cold. They did an autopsy on her body and they found blood clots in her body. Imagine that. Imagine that. Now her family is infuriated, Roger, because they know the booster that Denise took killed her.
In the 1970s, and again, I've been talking about this on your show for almost 2 years. I told you this as well. Your audience should remember this. In the 1970s, the H1N1 vaccine was pulled off the market, never to be used on the public again because it caused 35 deaths. I'm going to tell you that globally, what you do know and what you don't know, you're looking at deaths in the tens of millions, probably approaching 50 million or more. That's not all of the damage also caused. I'm just talking about deaths. Where the hell did the conscience of humanity go when we would pull a vaccine off the market because 35 deaths were too many for humanity to suffer? Where the hell did those people go? Because 35 deaths, if the COVID-19 jabs were responsible globally with as many vaccinations as have been given for only 35 deaths, it would be the safest vaccine ever used on humanity. But it isn't.
Okay, Roger, I'm going to play the part of a complete dummy that's tuned into the show, never heard this before. He just heard you say that 50 million people died from this. He doesn't see any of this information on mainstream, nothing that the guy is ever exposed to. Explain to him where you come up with those numbers, okay?
Oh, I said, what if? I can't prove that 50 million people have died. What I can, because I don't think 50 million people have died from the vaccine. What I think is at least 50 million people have died as a result of the vaccine, meaning myocarditis wasn't caused by the vaccine. Myocarditis was caused by a reaction from or as a result of having taken the vaccine. The vaccine itself didn't cause the death. In other words, if I shoot somebody, the bullet definitely killed them. Okay. But if you've got comorbidities, which most people do, and you don't even know it, comorbidities means there's actually something else in your body that's lurking in there, but it's not enough to take a death hold on you. It's not enough to keep you sick every day, but it's there. And once you take a vaccination, okay, that is a vaccine that results in the weakening of the immune system or causing blood clots or changing the DNA in the body, then the amount of things that can happen, even up to and including the exacerbation of the comorbidities you didn't even know you had, are now on the table. How many people have died in Israel, okay, after taking the vaccines? And no, a lot of them are not being listed as vaccine deaths. But they didn't die till after they took 2-3 vaccines. They didn't. Mm. And then all of a sudden they're dying. Listen to me. In the United States, listen to me, the amount of deaths, and this is what you're getting from the insurance people, the amount of deaths in people of working age, which is from 18 to 64, the amount of deaths since the issuance and the wide use of the vaccines has risen by 40%. That doesn't happen. Not even in the worst pandemic would you see a rise in deaths across 350 million people by 40%. It wouldn't happen, but it did. So where am I guessing that as maybe as many as 50 million people as a result of, not from or directly from the vaccines, but as a result of having taken the vaccines, have already died globally? I'm underestimating it.
Mm. So, of course, we're going to see that number spike like crazy this year when the reports come out again.
You're going to see hundreds of millions over the next 2 years. You maybe see over a billion over the next 5 years. And over the next 10 years, you may see 3 to 5 billion deaths on this planet as a result of the vaccines.
Safe and effective, Roger. Don't worry about it. Just get it. Don't question us. We know what we're doing. That's all you hear on mainstream. Go get it. It's safe and effective. How can we stop that rhetoric, man?
It's going to put a whole new meaning to getting lost in a crowd. It's going to be very hard to find a crowd.
You know, sad but true. It really is sad but true.
Yeah. And everybody they kept telling me, they don't say it quite so much anymore. You're fear-mongering. You don't know that's going to happen. You're fear-mongering. Except that just like I was screaming bloody murder, that Joe Bob's laptop his son's laptop compromised him, and he never should be in the presidency of the United States. And now all of a sudden you've got the New York Times coming out and saying, well, you know what? That's actually true. Oh, my God. But I was fear-mongering. And then I said, you're going to see 20 to 30, maybe even 40 or 50% increase in active people. You're going to see an increase in death in active people in this country. And they're all going to be people who had the shot. Oh, my God. What did I find the other day? I found out that doctors are stating a 40% increase in working people's, age from 18 to 84, 40% increase in deaths after the issuance of the vaccine. So again, when am I fear-mongering? People need to stop and understand. Just because Roger talks a little bit louder, that's called emphasis. When my voice is raised like this, you need to listen. When I'm talking like this, I'm joking with Barry.
So, hey, wait a second, Ro. So maybe you think this might be the push to get Joe Bob out of there and put in the chosen one, Carmelia?
I think it's a big distraction. I think Joe Bob is a sacrificial lamb, and I don't think he was ever intended to finish his first term. But what we're seeing right now as a result of all of this information coming out, even like I said, the New York Times, which was one of the papers that said this never happened, it's all a lie. And now they're saying, well, you know what? We looked and, it actually did. Okay. If you start to see those who were your staunch allies all of a sudden become your down low enemies, then you're the next sacrificial lamb. I told you, door number one, vaccines. Door number two, the motorcade up in Canada. Door number three, Ukraine. Door number four, Taiwan. Door number five, Joe Bob.
Oh, and door number six, now we got 36 million people locked down in China, apparently, from the massive new outbreak of COVID, Roger. Of course, you've heard that story, and boy, what I think that's all smoke and mirrors myself. What do you think?
Well, you've also got to understand that Jinping is losing control because people in his own party, people in the Communist Party over there, are starting to go, wait, what? You know, we really don't want to be doing this. This is hurting us way too bad. So the only mechanism he has for ultimate control is basically lockdowns, exacerbating COVID, whole nine yards. These give him even more power than what you would expect from a communist dictator. But look what's happening in Russia. Hold on a second, okay? It's happening in Russia too, because you've got generals in Russia going, what the hell are you doing in Ukraine? We ain't winning over there. We're looking stupid. The Ukrainians, I mean, you've got Russian military people, soldiers, okay? They don't get no gas to put in the tanks of their in the fuel tanks of their tanks or of their trucks, of their aerial vehicles. They literally are deserting tanks, trucks, missile launching platforms, and walking away from them into the woods because they're getting no gas. And what are they doing? They're knocking on the Ukrainians' doors and asking them for food because they ain't getting any food either. I got to tell you something. If you're going to attack and destroy a country, don't you think you'd make sure they had ammunition, gas, food, and things like this?
You don't, Roger?
I'm almost done. Sorry, Barry.
Go ahead. Keep going.
You have is generals, Putin's generals, saying, what the hell are you doing? Putin has four generals under lockdown, home lockdown. Not only that, but one of those generals is the general of the Russian National Guard. He's on house lockdown, which means these people are literally under the gun. Not only that, Putin went on TV and told the entire nation the other day, actually the world, because everybody else saw it too, that there may be some problems in the government and there may have to be a shakedown. Of course, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. I got to ask you a question. What real difference is there between the Soviet Union and Putin's Russia right now? Because I don't see any. He's talking about going in, getting rid of politicians, locking them up, maybe shooting them, I don't know, getting rid of his generals. I mean, this is reality. This is why I'm telling you, Putin may be very eager at this point to deal with the president of Ukraine. He may be very eager. He may tell him, just do me a favor. Promise you won't join NATO and you'll stay neutral and we'll back out, because that will save face for Putin and probably his life. That's why I'm telling you the next door to open, probably very soon, is going to be China-Taiwan.
Interesting times we live in, Roger. Yeah, no, interesting times we live in.
Oh, you think?
so many possible scenarios of what could actually happen here in the next little while. We know that there could be a real situation with currency going forward. I hear real top-notch professionals talking about that all the time now, and they're trying to give a warning out to people that that it is a real possibility. Some people I've talked to, I have a great deal of respect for, And they're giving me lots of warnings about the possibility that's really happening in the very next short period of time. What do you think?
I think it's much, much worse than that. I think you're talking about one of the three C's. And this is something that I was going to get to real soon. What are the three C's? The three C's are what presents the biggest danger to the global elitists, those who wish to control this planet, 100% control this planet. What are the three C's? Cars, cash, and communication. What do I mean? With automobiles, people can go just about anywhere they want, whenever they want to go there. It's hard to control a population that has instant mobility. What's the next thing? Cash. With unobservable cash transactions, You can't control those transactions. And when you can't control those transactions, things will happen that are not in your favor or things that you don't wish to happen. And the last one is communication. Today, we have instant communication. 200 years ago, if I wanted to send a message to someone in Spain, I literally had to put it on a ship, wait 2 months for it to get there, wait 2 months for it to get back. So I had to wait 4 months. Nowadays, if I want to talk to somebody in Spain, I pick my phone up, I go beep, 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 bam, I'm talking to them. We're talking 3 to 5 seconds. So now you have the ability for all of those you wish to control to have ultimate and instant communication globally. They have the ability to make transactions, monetary transactions, that you can't control. And if they don't like where they're at because they don't like who you are, they can get in their car and go. So what are they doing? Listen to me. What are they doing? They're telling you we're going to get rid of all the fossil fuels. And you got to buy an electric vehicle. And for most people who may be of a threat to them, they can't afford them. They're not going to have them. The cash very soon, and this is an absolute must for them. That's part of the Great Reset, is to get rid of all cash. They will come to you and say, oh, you have 2 months or 30 days to turn in every bit of cash you have, after which point in time it'll no longer be worth anything.
Correct.
Once you have digital cash, they have total control over every transaction or the ability to observe every transaction. And the last one, communication, it won't be long if things don't go their way and we don't grab some control before, oh, guess what? The internet got hacked. You can't get on the internet anymore. And once you can't get on the internet, all alternative media, all truth ceases to exist. What are the three things the elites are focusing on right now? The three C's: cars, cash, and communication.
Of course. And you're correct, Roger. When if they get society to accept digital cash and that is brought into society, then we have lost all our freedoms. We will be under complete control of the government. They will be able to control every aspect of your life. They'll know when you go to the bathroom and how many pieces of toilet paper you use. That's where they're going with this. And I can see, we can see it all unraveling right now, Roger. The banks are starting to promote it. And, of course, the RFID chip will be a big part of that.
The biggest part of all this is will be what they allow you to know and not to know. It may very well be that it is in their interest to have you at some level, some cooperative level, meaning they're not going to show you how much they actually know about everything you're doing, but they're going to keep it so that they can nudge you in this direction, nudge you in that direction, or if you become too big of an issue, they can literally slam you to the ground. But everything in between, they're going to honestly let you believe, programmed ignorance, gee, where have I heard that before, that you actually have some freedom, when in fact you don't.
Well, we see people, what I've noticed here in Canada, Roger, some of the more profound, outspoken people in our country have been viciously attacked, put in jail, basically political prisoners now in Canada. I'm a little guy still, so they haven't come after me, but I know that day is coming where they'll completely silence all opposing opinions. Well, and by the way, they have built, this is really cool, man, I love this. They have built now 5 voluntary self-isolation camps in Canada. We got pictures of them brought out by 2 of them. And you know what, Roger, if you put them side by side, a picture with a German concentration camp in the Second World War, you will literally fall off your chair, folks, but that's what they're doing in Canada. But we know, Roger, anytime a society flips, the first thing they're going to do is come after anybody that's speaking against the government, and those people will disappear. So there is no
FEMA camps
all over
the United States.
They're doing it here too, Roger.
But let's talk about that. Let's talk about you literally being held as a political prisoner because you don't agree with those in power. I will tell you that Antifa and BLM went through city after city in the United States, caused death, destruction, destroyed buildings, burned cities to the ground, the whole nine yards, and they were all let off scot-free as these being, I don't know, almost peaceful demonstrations. But yet, a couple hundred people walked through the Capitol building. They don't kill nobody. They don't hurt nobody. They don't destroy the Capitol building. They don't overthrow the government. But yet they've been locked up for how long now without representation? We have political prisoners in Washington, D.C. that is so far outside of the norm of what America is supposed to be. Everybody's looking at America and the December 6th, I mean, January 6th prisoners, and they're going, who the hell believes anything America says anymore? We have a class of political prisoners who literally hurt nobody.
And how long have they been locked up now, Roger? How long is that now they've been locked up? Long time. I know, Roger. I'm just, I know.
What, I know. A year and 4 months? A year and five months?
Yeah. Without representation. Isn't that one of the founding fundamentals of your country?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
So where are the people calling this out, Roger?
There have been people calling it out, but we're being ignored. What most people in the world understand, except the Americans whose ignorance is so well programmed it's insane, is that Americans no longer control their government. The House of Representatives and the Senate, Congress, both of those make up what we call Congress. These are servants of the people. In the olden days, these people did this. They came from the farm. They spent 2, 4, 6 years in Congress. They went home and they ran their farm. Okay? And in between, they represented the voice of those who sent them there. Now, you take a look at a congressman. You take a look at a senator. They've been there 20, 30, 40 plus years. They get huge bucks. Nancy Pelosi's worth well over $100 million. She's a freaking senator. I mean, a congressman. Are you freaking kidding me? But yet, this is what we see. They no longer have any allegiance to you and me. They have owners who tell them, this is what you're going to do, and don't worry about reelection. We're going to make sure you get reelected. And people are saying right now, I can hear them all over. Everybody listening to this is saying, but what if the other person gets more votes? Let me explain something.
Doesn't matter.
The same voting machines that got Joe Biden in and lock Trump out, even though Trump got over 84 million votes, and this is provable. But then this is something else 2 or 3 years from now. They'll say, well, we found proof of it, but it's too late, okay? The same voting machines that were used to put the wrong guy in the White House are used for your congressman. They're used for your senator. They're used for your local state reps. Listen to me. They don't have to represent you anymore. They only have to please their masters. And in doing so, they get a lifelong career, a whole lot of money, and a guarantee they're going to be reelected.
Yeah, and they also got a ticket to the big party, Roger. And that's worth more than anything.
Well, they think they do.
They think they got a ticket to the big party. Well, you know what? It's a lot of them, some of them do, Roger, but you really got to be up the chain of command to get the ticket to the big party. There's very, very few people that will get there. And all the ones below them, they're just going to be used until their usage is no longer of use. And they're going to get stomped on just like you and me. They're just up the ladder a couple more rungs than you and me. Period.
I'm going to tell you what I believe to be true. And I cannot prove this, but I have been in technology my entire life. I worked for the military industrial complex, fixing things that go bang and things that find things that go bang. I'm going to tell you right now that when the Georgia Guidestones were made, like 35, 40 years ago, somewhere in that area, okay, when they were made, technology was not at the level it is today. And they say, and I'm paraphrasing here, not exactly word for word, but this is what it means, keep humanity under 500 million people in tune with nature. Okay, right. 500 million people back then may have been what was needed across the planet to run the planet for the masters. Today, with the technology, the robots, the artificial intelligence we have, that number would go from 5 million to 50 million. Out of 8 billion people, how many people who think they have a place at the dinner table are even going to have a hope and prayer of having a place at the freaking dinner table?
Exactly. Exactly what I'm saying, Roger.
Very small group of people.
Well, exactly. But you can't tell them that. You know, they think they're doing, they think they're on the right side of history. And, you know, one of the things I got to make sure I do from now on when I start my shows, Roger, I always got to welcome in the agencies that are listening to us. Because you know and I know they got massive fusion centers in the United States of America. And every conversation on any social media now, anybody that's saying anything is being listened to. So welcome to the show, guys.
I got to tell you, I'm going to tell you one more time. If you want to have that notice, This organization is known to put out false information on a regular basis. Are you sure you want to share from this? I'm telling you, if you want the privilege of having that every time somebody tries to share from you, just invite me on four times a month.
Well, you got Laura Lynn. You got Laura Lynn kicked off. So way to go, Roger.
I'm just kidding. I don't want to do more than I've already got enough on my plate.
I know
but
that,
I Roger. Do enjoy coming in here twice a month and being able to froth at the mouth for your audience.
Well, you know what? My audience really appreciates the information you bring forward, Roger, and I always enjoy our conversations. We've been doing this too long now to ever stop, so let's just keep plunking along and maybe we will really start to make a difference in people and their lives right now, because we really are up against the wall. And
does anybody ever give you feedback when I get on your show?
All the time, Roger, and I always
then we are making a difference.
We are. Story. Last minute, Roger, what do you got to say before I let you out of here? We got about 2 minutes left.
What have I got to say in 2 minutes?
And where can people find you, of course? And feel those talks. Let's vote them all. 2 minutes. Go.
No, I got 2.5 minutes. I know.
Okay.
Listen to me. TLB Talk, what Barry just mentioned, is a social media platform that the Liberty Beacon Project, which I founded and direct, has set up. It exists only for the people. There is not one penny of corporate money in that organization, and there never will be. So if you don't help, if you don't pitch in $5 a month, which is what we ask people to do, then it won't be there forever. But if we have enough people that will throw $5 a month in the bucket, we will give you everything you need. We will give you the ability to do your live shows, live stream. We'll give you the ability to upload videos. We'll give you the ability that everybody else gives you. But what we won't give you is the eyeball on you constantly telling you what you can and can't say. We are true believers in the ability for you to exercise your First Amendment rights. We really are. Of course, you can't step outside of the bounds of legality. If you do that, we're going to kick you to the curb so fast you're going to think Spider-Man or Superman was on our side, which they probably are. The point here is this is, and it has to be, of, by, and for the people. Because as soon as you take corporate money, you have to take corporate orders. We will never take a corporate penny, which means it is the freest platform you will ever find. And if that's worth $3 to $5 a month for you, then you need to come and take a look. You need to come and help us build this community. That is part of the Liberty Beacon Project. We have 4 global news websites. We have a science website, and we have TLB Talk, which is a social media website. The flagship is thelibertybeacon.com. You will find a lot of up-to-date news there. Come and visit us. The one thing Barry has known about me for the last dozen years is I don't lie, I don't bullcrap, and I don't spread fear porn. If it's coming out of my mouth, you need to know it. And thanks for the platform again, Barry.
Always, Roger, and I look forward to our next conversation, but bye for now.
Bye.
Oof, I'm twitching. I guess, are we off?
No, Steve, you're still on. You're still on.
Oh, okay.
He's twitching, everybody. Listen to him.
I'm twitching. Okay.
I told you we had more than 2 minutes.
Do you want me to take you off air?
I got to tell you something about Barry. Everybody listening, I got to tell you something about Barry.
Hold on, Roger. What'd you say, Steve?
Do you want me to take you off air?
Yes, sir. Please.
No.
We're done.
I want to say something about Barry first. I want to say something about Barry.
Okay, quick.
Everybody needs to understand this, okay? Barry has a heart as big as anybody you know. The reason he does this as often as he does it and for as long as he does this is because he truly cares about humanity. You want to know why I'm here twice a month, all the time, year after year? That's the reason. When you find somebody you can trust, somebody with empathy, hang on to them, please.
Thanks for the kind words, Roger. Talk to you in a couple weeks, bud.
Okay.
Okay. Now can we get off the air, Steve, for a couple of minutes? Because everybody knows I'm twitching.
No, you got to stay on for another hour and 5 minutes.
Oh, they're all laughing in the chat.
Okay, Barry.
I'm drinking coffee. I got to go away for a minute.
I'll do it, Barry. We'll be back in 5 minutes, everyone.
Okay, you can Roger good talk. Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again to Roger for the information he always brings to our show. Much appreciated, sir. First time I've ever had Mr. Chuck Black on my show. Chuck is the founder of the Freedom Forum in Canada. He's got quite an interesting story to tell, and I've actually been on round tables with Chuck. I've got to know him a little bit, but he was gracious enough to give me an hour's time today to carry on a conversation about what we see going on in this great country of ours. Welcome to the show, Chuck.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to helping you any way I can.
Can you tell a little people about your background just a little bit?
I am actually a real honest-to-goodness working journalist with citations in Canada, mostly the Globe and Mail, the National Post. I've been on CBC, I've been on CTV, I've been on Global, I've been on a number of other stations, sometimes as an author, sometimes as a subject matter expert, referenced by other authors. I've also been in a lot of American business publications, mostly talking about the business of the aerospace industry. So I talked about companies like CAE. I talked about companies like McDonald Detweiler and Associates. I interviewed Elon Musk at one point and a bunch of other interesting people as well. But about 2 years ago, I didn't drink the Kool-Aid. I got confused about the COVID narrative. I started asking bad questions. And eventually I got blacklisted because, you know, I didn't follow the herd. So and nowadays I edit something called Freedom Forum Canada. We pitch it as the latest in local and international news. What I personally consider it to be is a rather interesting discussion of well-researched and well-referenced news stories, editorials, and in-depth articles in a variety of print, electronic, and video formats. So that's what I'm doing now, pretty much the same as before, only now I'm new media instead of being the legacy media.
So you just don't believe that this killer pandemic is the worst thing that's ever happened to the human race, Chuck, that we should have all done more to stop it?
Forgive me. I honestly think that not a lot of people have died over the last 2 years, although I have pushed out companies. I have pushed out stories from insurance companies explaining that a lot more people are actually dying from the vaccines.
Yes, they are.
And I ask sensible, logical, and rational questions. I refuse to be caught up in the narrative. I believe that a journalist's job is to ask harsh questions. So that's where we are right now.
Well, I wish CBC would do the same thing, and this whole charade would have come to an end a long, long time ago. But unfortunately, in Canada, we're fighting the Communist Broadcasting Corporation. Go ahead.
I'm really embarrassed about the CBC. Honestly, $2 billion a year. And frankly, I could have done their job for a tenth of the price. I think organizations funded by the government like the CBC have given people like you and I a tremendous advantage in the marketplace. We can run circles around the CBC. We have a greater knowledge of the new tools that are needed in order to effectively distribute and circulate media content. We have a better idea of how to ask questions and how to understand what's going on. We are far more generalists than the CBC or the National Post or the Globe and Mail or the Star or legacy media in general is. Yes.
Yeah, they're all corrupt right to the core. And they are doing acts of treason against the Canadian people in a nutshell because they're not exposing the information that Canadians need to make judgments on what's going on in our society right now, especially with the jibby jab and all the contrary information that's coming out. None of that is ever talked about on mainstream. I hope a day comes real soon that they all get held accountable for this because they are the biggest enemy in our country. Chuck, to the people, go ahead.
I would tend to agree with you in the broad terms. I don't think that the legacy media is intentionally malicious. I think they're stupid. I think they're following the money. I think that 30% of the funding for legacy media in Canada these days comes from the federal government. And if I was given millions of dollars a year by the federal government, I'd certainly run stories critical of them by the people in charge. So I think they're acting like that. I don't think they're intentionally malicious. I think they're surprisingly stupid. And there's a level at which everybody understands that they're not providing the service they should be. And that's because people like you and people like your competition and people like me and people like people I work with have been broadening the narrative over the last 2 years.
I would say to that, my opinion on that would be is I don't think there's any excuse now for any media, complacent or dumb or stupid or just playing stupid, don't want to know, doesn't have privy to the information coming out now about all the all the side effects and deaths that are being associated with this around the world. That information is out there in multiple platforms, in multiple situations, that anybody that really wants to know anything about it can go find that information. I don't know if they're just dumb or if they're just being paid off to shut up, but I believe a lot of them honestly know about the damage that this is doing, Chuck. It's just too out there right now, and it doesn't take, like I said, a lot of time to go find that information.
No, I agree.
Just my thought on it.
No. The information is there. It's available. People like you and I have been publicly chastised and banned from social media because we pushed information like that out. But yep. To be fair, most people in the media, 30, 35 years old, they got a wife, they got kids, they are paid $1,000 a month or $1,000 a week, right, on average. Right. In order to write about different things, much like if you were a plumber and you suddenly decided you wanted to be an artist and you went to your client sites and you decided to play the violin instead of do their plumbing, they'd be annoyed and they fire you. So these people continue to do the plumbing, even though that's not what's needed right now.
Yeah, if they really knew the end game of what they're doing right now to our society, you might see a change in heart, because they're going to be in this country just like you and me, and the changes that are going to come to this country because of their complicity and what they're actually doing, providing the Canadian people the narrative that they are right now. You hear no contradictory, nothing on mainstream media anywhere in Canada, contrary to what the government wants you to hear. Well, you know, Chuck, I'm not a historian, but I know how Hitler controlled Germany prior to the Second World War. And Hitler, of course, took over all media in Germany. I think by 1935, he had control of all the media in Germany. In other words, the people didn't hear anything but what the government wanted them to hear. Well, we're dealing with the same situation in Canada right now. And, of course, you know, Hitler brought in the paper system. I'm just going by what I read. I can't remember the exact date, but it was 1937. I think early 1937, you had to have papers to walk the street in Germany. Well, how far are we from that right now with the vax pass, Chuck?
Well, we're taking the summer off, but that'll be back by October. I almost guarantee
it's going to come back. It's going to come back. It's going to come back, Chuck. It's going to come back so hard that people are just going to get knocked right off their feet. I mean, they've already seen how Canada responded to the first scamdemic. You know, the first year that this happened, I looked at the numbers. Until they brought the vaccines in, Chuck, we weren't seeing any different numbers than we would any year prior for the last 10 years in Canada about the amount of people that are dying from the flu every year. Like Roger said, it kills hundreds of thousands of people around the planet every year. It's done that for eons. And there is no difference in the first short period of time until, of course, they introduced the vaccines. And then now, like you said, the insurance companies are the smoking gun because they're reporting this and it's getting out and people are starting to scratch their heads, Chuck. They really are. Go ahead.
No, how about I agree, but there are also learned papers. After the first year of the pandemic, there were learned papers by a number of well-respected authors that came out and they said things like, you know, this isn't really a vaccine. It doesn't stop anybody from getting sick. It doesn't prevent them from infecting other people. It's not really a vaccine. And those people started getting out about 6 months to a year ago. They don't get out on the legacy media. And to be fair, I would argue that a lot of my ex-colleagues in the legacy media don't go out very much. I know people who got paid well, $1,000 an article for merely looking on Twitter feeds on their computer and compiling a story based on Twitter feeds. It's one of the saddest cases I've come across historically, where the legacy media refuses to go where the adventure and where the action actually is. I find that terribly frightening. It would it's as if a war correspondent in World War II decided that I'm okay covering the war. I just don't want to go to France. Or Hemingway deciding to cover the Spanish-American War, but not really going to Spain because, you know, it's dangerous over there.
Another false flag.
Yeah.
I say to people all the time, Chuck, and they laugh at me. And I go, you know, Pearl Harbor was a false flag. Mm-hmm. And it was. It was. Anybody that's really studied the events around that day, when you find out that the Americans moved their main carriers out of Pearl Harbor 4 days prior to the attack, 500 miles north of Pearl Harbor for an unscheduled exercise, and they were out of range of Pearl Harbor when the attack happened. Well, we knew at that point in history that battleships were obsolete. So they sacrificed the battleships to get America in the war because there was so much pushback against it. Just another example of how they use false flags to bring society into control. Go ahead. I didn't want to get off on that tangent, but
No. How about Barry? I agree with you. Historically, there's a lot of evidence to support your viewpoint. Historically, I think you're probably correct. However, the secret now is to bring the people who are weaned on the legacy news.
Yeah.
The secret now is to bring them forward in a way that they can understand. Right. We can do it in dribs and drabs. We can say that the vaccine companies, the drug companies, made a whole lot of money off of this, so it's in their best interest to lie. We can talk about how governments have a history of lying. Up until 2 years ago, even the legacy media was really up on the fact that the government often lies. And suddenly all that's been forgotten in the COVID pandemic. And about a week and a half ago, we swung around on a dime. We are no longer at war with COVID. Now we're at war with Oceania. I think that's what 1984 said, or maybe we're at war with the Ukraine now. And just we're supposed to follow along like puppy dogs. We're supposed to agree with the narrative. We're not supposed to listen to anything that's come before. And informed citizens have a context to what's going on, and we need to learn our context.
The power of the mainstream media, Chuck, just it boggles my mind how they can portray a narrative on society that is such crap and yet it's so effective in perpetrating their agenda in the last couple of years. I honestly believe, like you said, they're going to give us the summer off. But yeah. They've laid the groundwork. Now they know how society responded. I don't think they'll ever let this go, that we will be in a really ugly situation come the fall.
Maybe they'll let us
have the summer off and I can go to the beach. I'd like to go picking mushrooms this year. Chuck, so I really wouldn't mind if they gave me that time off before they come down on us like a ton of bricks. I honestly believe that's coming, buddy. I do.
No, I agree with that 100%. My concern is I went to the I was part of the initial wave of protest against COVID. I believe it was about a year and a half ago. Every night after the protest, we would always go to Cherry Beach.
Yep.
And I remember sitting there as the police would get closer and closer and threaten over and over again to arrest all of us and then cancel right at the last minute in an effort to not do anything illegal. But they would threaten to do it over and over again. And I think that's a lot of what's going on right now. The police, the government is threatening to do things and then caving at the very last minute. So I think there's lots of options for us if we want to protest or if we want to move forward.
Yeah, I think we better take advantage of that window because it could close on us in the near future here, Chuck. I honestly believe that. But I still believe we have a chance to put a stop to all this. It's just whether we can get enough Canadians awake. I was downtown yesterday and they lifted the mandates for masks in British Columbia a week ago, but seen people riding around on their bicycles with masks on and I just shake my head. And I really wonder if we have a chance to stop this, given some of the things I see going on in society. How people are so controlled by a narrative. Even after take the mandates off, people are riding around on a bicycle with a mask on. What do you say to somebody like that?
I'm more nuanced.
I'm lost for words.
I'm more nuanced than you, Barry. Have you ever been to Hong Kong?
Say what?
Have you ever been to Hong Kong?
No, I have not, Chuck.
In the 2000s, when the Communist Party of China was taking overt control over the democratic government.
Right. I've never, Chuck, honestly, I've been into the United States, and that's as far as I've got out of Canada.
Fair enough.
So my limited travel around the world.
I was in Hong Kong in the early 2000s, and I saw what the Chinese Communist Party did to the democratic representatives of the Hong Kong legislature, the people Margaret Thatcher put in place in the 1980s in order to preserve the independence of Hong Kong. Right. When they were giving the territory over to China. And also, I may look young, but I'm old enough to have been an adult in the 1970s, and I went to the Soviet Union in the 1970s and the 80s multiple times when the communist government was making noises about restricting the freedom of the people in their population. I was there just before the wall came down in 1989. And I think that the people in China and the people in Hong Kong, much like the people in Canada today, know what's going on. They don't necessarily believe what the government says, but they are intentionally trying to stay under the firing line. They don't want to be noticed. They don't want to cause too much trouble. They don't want to be targeted. That's what I think.
Because they're in a constant state of fear, Chuck.
Maybe.
I mean, the government's very efficient in using fear. That's their number one weapon against people.
Yeah.
Remember when this thing first broke, Trudeau came on national TV and told everybody that a minimum of 50,000 people were going to die, regardless of what they did right now. So they had to enact all these emergency measures right away. And if you look at the numbers of people that have actually died in Canada since this thing started, we know it's all BS. You could say the same thing anywhere you actually look at numbers. You'll find that it's all smoke and mirrors, that it's just been put on the public as something that it never was. But you look at how much control, you look what Trudeau's done to our economy. And, of course, that's all part and parcel. You know, and I know that if you took $500 billion and added to your debt in 2 years as a country, well, now we're starting to see the effects of hyperinflation. I think it's going to absolutely go crazy here in the next little while, Chuck. We're up to $2. Well, I think that's, you know, it's all part of the plan, right? But we're seeing $2 a liter in British Columbia. I wouldn't be surprised to see that go, you know, maybe as high as $3 a liter by the summer. What do you think? Because they're adding more and more carbon tax, and Trudeau needs more money. What do you think about that? Do you think that's possible?
I guarantee you, we're in a situation where inflation has kicked in. Some of it's because malfeasance on the part of the government. I would argue that I mentioned this to you last night on another TV show. We were specifically we have a federal government that hasn't counted our expenses for the last 2 years during a period where we spent 30% of the money we've spent overall since the beginning of Confederation. That's how much we've grown our deficit from. And the Liberal government has essentially refused to provide an accounting for it. They promised to give an accounting by 2026.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know, and we're still hearing crickets. How can they get away with that, Chuck? How come?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. They're not accountable in any shape or form to the Canadian people.
Yeah. Vincent, I'm about to shock you and appall you.
You said you had a surprise for me, too. Go ahead.
Yeah. One of the things that happens with journalists, especially independent journalists, is that they do two or three things at once. And right now, while I'm talking with you on the phone, I am also directing another show I do called the Juma and Marie Show, where they are interviewing Vincent Percy. And I'm hoping to disconnect for a minute and go to my cell phone and call you online. Is that at all possible?
Online or on a cell phone, you mean?
Yeah, if I can call you on your cell phone, then I bypass. My bandwidth isn't enough to interview, to have Juma, one of the hosts of the show, and Vincent Gersi and Maria on at the same time.
Do you want to call in to continue this conversation?
My apologies.
Do you want to be on Skype and a cell phone?
No, I'm going to hang up on Skype. We'll call him in on a cell phone. Right, Chuck?
Yeah, if I can call in Skype on a cell phone, my apologies about that.
Yes,
no, that's no problem. I'll type it in chat here for you right now, Steve, and you can hang up on this call, Chuck, and we'll call you in.
Okay,
in 30
I don't have the chat right now.
No,
okay.
I'll give you the number.
I'm going to give Steve your number right now. You can hang up on this call.
I'm going to give you.
Give Steve my number and have him.
Chuck.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Chuck.
Okay, I'm going to give you his number here, Steve.
I think you did it once already, didn't you?
Did I send it to you earlier?
I was going to give him my Skype number.
But I'm
going to
send it again just in case, because we're on the air.
Okay.
Okay, there's his number.
All right.
Bear with us, folks. Pretty interesting fella.
Yeah, I just have to figure out how to do this again. Add people to the call. Dial pad. Here we go. Okay, it should be calling.
Yeah.
Or it should be in a few seconds here anyways.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, we got you back, Chuck.
Hi, am I back online?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. You're back on the air.
Oh, dear.
You got a lot of noise.
You got a lot of background noise, old Chuck.
Yeah, let me kill that.
Okay,
what I was hoping to do is... at least we're not bored. Does anybody want to talk about new media?
Sure, go. Go ahead, Chuck. You got the mic right now.
One of the things about the new media that I find fascinating is that everybody involved in the new media learns how to do everything. We all start out as generalists. We all learn how the technology works. We all have a fairly good idea of how everything functions, and we're all able to press almost every button on our own, and that is essentially what I'm doing right now. I am talking with you guys on the phone. I'm trying to hold a sensible, stable conversation, and at the same time, I am directing an episode of a show for StreamYard that's streaming on another channel completely, and it's something that would never happen in the legacy media, if only because everybody knows so very much about so very little. Everybody in the legacy media can press just one button, and that's why you need to hire 10 people to do what you and I, Barry, do essentially all by ourselves.
So what you're telling me, Chuck, you're good at multitasking. Is that what you're saying?
Well, evidently I'm not that good today.
Well, me, I can't I can't walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. So
you're doing fine. You're holding the conversation.
One of my biggest drawbacks is I'm not very good with computers, Chuck. I try, but I get lost and frustrated so often. It's just like, anyways, I know it's one of my drawbacks, but I have a problem with techie stuff. But
no, I understand that completely.
For me. Yeah, it's like I'm an old brain. I don't really want to learn it, but I know I should learn it. But I really don't want to learn it because it's painful.
Yeah.
Anyways, all that being said.
I am lucky. I spent 15 years in the technology industry. I've worked for IBM. I've worked for Oracle. I've worked for a lot of their subcontractors. I sold enterprise sales out of Austin, Texas, of all things, for several years. And I understand the jargon. I'm conversant with Macs, and I'm conversant with Windows machines. But by the same time, by the same token, when you're strung in like 15 or 20 different directions, sometimes your brain hurts anyway.
Well, I can imagine, man. I'm glad you can do that kind of stuff because, like I said, I'd be lost. But that's why it's good to have guys like you around. And if I have a problem sometime, I'll just phone Chuck. Hey, Chuck, you got an hour?
By the same token, By the same token, here we are talking about COVID. Medical research, vaccines, it's a very technical issue, and we all have to learn about that as well. And then we have to learn about politics and how everything functions when we go into the political arena. And to be fair, we are all becoming essentially generalists. It's the strangest thing I've ever come across.
Well, it's like I like to say that when we start going down the rabbit holes, Chuck, you better take a GPS with you, for one. Because when you get down one rabbit hole, you're going to find another one. And you start going down that rabbit hole, you're going to find three or four more. And eventually you'll be lost. But if you continue, I always said, if you can continue down those rabbit holes, you'll eventually come right back to the start. Because it's all tied together. Everything that's happening in our world right now is not by accident. It's years of planning by very evil people, psychopathic people, to get society where we are today. And we're in a lot of trouble, buddy. We really are. I mean, every aspect of our life is under attack. Everything that makes us healthy is being implemented on us. I was talking with my buddy this morning, and it's something that absolutely drives me crazy, is that we're being sprayed like rats, and yet society is still quiet about that, Chuck. Why? Why? If you go on the internet right now, buddy, and you can find the patents for what they're actually spraying in our atmosphere to so-called keep the earth from heating up, which is a crock of crap. But anyways, it's berenium, strontium, mercury. I mean, I've led the list, aluminum. I mean, it's crazy. Potassium iodide.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, Chuck? Every one of those things that they're spraying in our skies is actually an accelerant for fire.
Yeah.
And you're probably aware of that. So why are we getting big fires now? Do you think it's by coincidence, Chuck? Uh-uh. And that drives me crazy. It drives me crazy that you look up in the sky and they're spraying us like rats. That this isn't normal, folks. But society is still crickets about it. I don't understand that. I don't. I talk to people about it all the time, and they just kind of shrug their shoulders. Like, don't worry about it, folks. You want to talk craziness, Chuck. What are they actually spraying up there that we don't know about, given what we know about nanotechnology now? That's a scary thought process. It really is. Go ahead.
How about I agree with you? All sorts of weird things are happening that we know nothing about. I wrote about the aerospace industry, I was quite knowledgeable in the fact that so many people wanted to keep secrets. And I think that's just so bizarre. The government wants to keep secrets. The private sector wants to keep secrets. And it just, to a large extent, they want to keep secrets in order to protect their jobs. Because if they do something wrong and that gets out in public, somebody is going to get fired. And that is a lot of what this started from. So you talk about, you don't want to talk about alien beings in Roswell, because the truth is that somebody did something wrong and they're about to get their job. And you don't want to talk about the JFK assassination, because no matter who's responsible for it, at some point, someone in the government's about to lose their job. The same thing for 9/11. The same thing for what's happening these days. So over time, incredible amounts of secrets build up, and nobody can talk about them. So the people in charge of voting for public office and making sure our leaders are held accountable, we can't hold them to account. So rumors and innuendos and conspiracy theories build up from scratch. And to a large extent, there is so much that we don't know about what's going on right now. And I don't know. When I was a kid, we were supposed to know what our politicians are doing. Now the fact that we don't, I find that to be quite frightening.
Very frightening, and no accountability in the government for what they're doing in this country right now. We don't have a choice. You have the Liberals and the NDPs working together, Chuck. Between the two of them, they have a combined 176 seats in our parliament, which gives them a majority rule. So basically anything they want to put through, we have no recourse to stop it. That's one of the things that's wrong with our system. How do we change that, Chuck? We need what you call recall legislation, and we need a new constitution that actually serves the people of this country, because the right left will never serve Canada, ever.
I would tend to agree with you. I'm also concerned that a lot of our domestic politicians are tainted by associations with international groups that they're supposed to. The World Economic Forum. I mean, Klaus Schwab claims that he knows he's got Justin, he's got Chrystia Freeland in his back pocket. To me, that's scariest things known to man. Yeah, 20 years ago, any politician who was told by an international expert that he or she was beholden to the international expert would be immediately fired.
Well, we know a lot of them attended the World Economic Forum School of Economics when they were growing up, and they were indoctrinated at a very young age as to where they were going in the future and how that was going to happen. I mean, so many of them are compromised in our government now. And then added to that factor, how many more are compromised by the Muslim Brotherhood? I mean, there's a subject that people don't like to talk about a lot, but it's a real issue in our society right now, that our government has major influence in many of our politicians from that organization. If people look into it, you'll find out exactly what that organization is all about, and you wouldn't want them influencing our government. But that's going on right now as we talk, Chuck. Go ahead.
How about I agree with you 100%? I think it's.
I'm glad we're agreeing on stuff, man. That's good. but I like to disagree once in a while.
I don't want to disagree with you. I think you're right.
Well, I'm calling it like it is, whether you like it or not. I'm calling it like it is. Come on. I mean,
it's perfectly
people look
sensible,
into it.
The wonder who our politicians are beholding to. I think it's absolutely ludicrous not to be able to talk about that.
But people will attack you and go, you're racist, you know, like, come on. You know, there's not really a conspiracy. It's just normal immigration. Well, wait a second. Hold on. Last year, immigration in Canada came from three main geographics in the world. Guess where they were, Chuck?
No, tell me.
Yeah, just by accident. By accident.
Okay. Where?
China, India, and the Middle East were the three geographics where a majority of our immigration came from last year.
I find that hard to believe. Didn't everybody used to come from Western Europe?
Well, that was back in the day when people actually came here knowing that they had to work, that they had to assimilate to our culture, they had to obey our laws and be a good citizen of the country. Well, of course, that's been flipped upside down. We're being invaded right now. If you look what Trudeau wants to do with the United Nations Immigration Pact that they signed on to, they want to flood our country, and of course, they're creating a voter base, Chuck. We know that.
Yeah, I agree.
We're being displaced.
If you can't get elected with the domestic voters, you import new ones.
Well, of course. Anyway, Chuck, here's something else we got to think about, too, is all these people that are crossing the border between Mexico and the United States of America. Well, they're not dumb, and they've heard through conversations with their uncles and friends that all you have to do is get up to Canada, and you'll be in the land of milk and honey. You walk into the country, and the government will treat you like you're a king. And yet we've got veterans sleeping on the street. There is so much wrong going on in our systems right now, Chuck. It's just mind-boggling, and it infuriates me to death when I see what's going on in our country as far as the displacement of us Anglo-Saxon white Canadians, us terrible people now. The terrorists.
I'm a little cautious about that. I sort of think that after you take your citizenship, after you get some sense of Canadian history, I sort of think that we should all be on the same side. People came to Canada because they didn't like what they were, and they should come on board with the values that we hold. They shouldn't come here to change it back to what it was in the place that they left. That's got nothing to do with race, creed, color, or religion. That has everything to do with wanting a nice, sensible life, which countries in the West have been able to provide for the last 100 years or so. We don't have to talk about anything inflammatory to say that historically the people in the West had more control over their history. They had more control over what their government would embark upon. They had more control over their life, and they had certainly a better standard of living because of all the other things. So they would. And now we don't.
I'm not saying that all immigrants are bad, Chuck. What I am saying is that when you take a society and you start allowing all kinds of different cultures, a lot of them that hate each other, grow roots in your society, well, you'll start to see what we're seeing now in Canada, where you have a majority. I'm not going to say the numbers because I've looked at it. I don't want to be quoted saying something wrong, but we seem to see a lot of violence associated with people that have been in Canada for a very short period of time. That, you know, Trudeau gets up there and goes that, you know, multiculturalism is our strength. Well, I disagree with that statement. I see a society now that's divided. The old cliche, you know, divide and conquer. Well, really, if you wanted to divide a society so that they didn't stand against what was going on in their government, you would bring in multiple cultures from multiple different places and try and settle them in the same society. You are going to get conflict. That's inevitable. I just think that we've gotten so many different cultures in our Canada right now that's not, to me, that's not right. It really isn't. Our immigration numbers should have been in control. We're getting between worker programs, temporary worker programs and student programs and legal immigration and illegal immigration. The numbers I see are over a million people a year coming into our country. We can't sustain that, Chuck. We can't. Go ahead.
That's my opinion. Sympathy for what you're saying.
I just want to hear your opinion on it.
That's okay. My opinion is that while I have much sympathy for you, I will mention historically the late Roman Empire, the late Ottoman Empire, the late Greek Empire, the late empires in Arabia. At the end of their reign, I suppose you could call it that, a cohesive set of individuals with many of the same beliefs, I suppose their original advocates, the original populace, were essentially, and to a large extent, displaced by people who did not hold the same beliefs to that much of an extent. That made the countries really, really susceptible to being overthrown by external forces. I would say that's what's happening in the West right now. I would say that's what happened in the Ottoman Empire. That's what happened in Constantinople in the 12th century, and in the Roman Empire in the 2nd century A.D., and even in the Greek empires. This is traditionally what happens when empires are declining. Lots of immigrants with different values and different views immigrate, and they dilute the core values that made the nation strong.
Right. That's exactly what we see in Canada today, are we not?
I would agree with that. I would.
I mean, I'm not a racist person. You know, I believe everybody has a chance to live a good life. I just know there's thousands and thousands of people coming into our country that don't have good intentions, never assimilate, and have bad intentions, because I've studied the Quran. I understand their doctrine. Mm-hmm. I understand that, you know, that Muslims, there's a lot of good Muslims in the world. But there's a faction. I believe it's probably about 15% of them that are hardcore radicals, and that some of those people are coming into our country now. I believe their intentions are very, very bad going forward. I believe that enclaves are being set up in this country right now with the blessing of the government. There's a lot of things I see going on that, you know, down the road could really come back and bite us on the butts. All I'm saying, Chuck, because they, you know, I've studied the Quran. Yeah. I understand your doctrine. I do. Go ahead.
How about I'm open to that? Why do you think the government's letting the people come into the country?
I believe that there might the word go might be given down the road where they want to create total chaos in our society. And I believe there's enclaves set up in Canada right now. If the government wanted this to happen, it'd be very easy for them to cover it up. It'd also be very easy for them to get weapons to these people. I believe our government is that evil. I believe that that's going to come. That is a possibility. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I look at how Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated our parliament. I look at all these different things that are going on that are so contrary to a good future in Canada. I believe there might come a time when they turn loose on Canadians. It's part of their doctrine to make their enemy believe that they're friendly, that they're good people. And, I mean, that is in their doctrine. At one moment, they could turn on us. All I'm saying, Chuck. All I'm saying.
What do you think about the official reason for immigration? The fact that the Canadian population isn't reproducing fast enough in order to keep the Canada Pension Plan functioning, we need to allow immigration for a lot of 20-year-olds who work when the people reaching retirement age now retire and drop out of the workforce. That's the official reason.
Yeah.
I guess besides the both sides of this argument, it's just something I have observed, given the demographics where a lot of our immigration seems to be coming from, Mideastern countries with Sharia law as the order of the day, seems to be the target of a lot of our immigration. Like it or not, I'll speak the truth that anywhere in the world Somalians seem to go, a lot of trouble follows them. And we know that our immigration minister is a Somalian. And there's a lot of those people coming into our country. And I've seen the reports in Toronto about their gangs and who the efficacy of these gangs is. I'm just calling it like I see it, Chuck. I might not be right on all these points, but that's what I see going on. And it's all
fair enough.
Go ahead. You live in Toronto, don't you?
I live in Toronto, but I was born in Winnipeg. And I will tell you this. When I was born in Winnipeg, all of our grandparents immigrated to Winnipeg in 1920.
Right.
In 1920, Winnipeg was larger than Chicago.
Right.
And it had a polyglot nationality. We had Poles, we had Germans, we had Russians, we had people from all over Western Europe, and they all hated each other. Absolutely. And much of what's happening today in Canada as a whole first happened in Winnipeg in the 1920s. Historically, after World War One, immigration opened up, and anybody who wanted to get out of Europe was allowed to, because Europe was essentially racked with poverty and quite the mess after World War One.
Right.
And there was disease, and there was some concern about replacing population, and you know, no fuss, no bother, and everything. But much of what's happening now happened in Manitoba in the 1920s. Over time, we learned to live with each other. We developed a culture that was essentially better than it was before. The only difference was that the Poles and the Greeks and the Germans wanted to learn about each other, and they wanted to connect, and they came to Canada explicitly because it was so much better than where they had been. So that they wanted to build up a family. That to me is the only difference I see now. I think our centralized, very close knit world makes it really possible for anybody to call home anywhere in the world. Calling home is an easy thing to do now. I remember going to France the first time in my 20s, and I remember waiting 6 hours to go to the central connector, and I waited 6 hours in line to get a phone call back to Manitoba to tell my parents I was okay.
Wow. You've been all over the world, haven't you?
I've been a lot of strange places. I was in Hong Kong for a while. I was in Paris for a while. I was in Austin, Texas for 4 or 5 years during the dot-com boom. And I honestly believe that people are alike all over. They mostly want to be left alone. They mostly want to have a opportunity to build up their kids who they want.
Right.
Have
a good life. Have
parents,
a good family.
The first generation always has trouble because of the language barrier. The second generation is the multicultural generation. They know about their parents' culture. They know about Canadian culture. And the third generation are, you know, we're all the same.
Yeah. Well, I follow the same path. My immigrants came from my grandparents and great grandparents came from Europe, turn of the century.
Yeah.
I was born and raised in Toronto, Chuck. When I was living in Toronto growing up as a kid, it was a great, great city to grow up in. It really was. I didn't have to worry about going downtown. I was allowed to go anywhere in the city I wanted. My life, I never felt threatened. But Toronto isn't like that anymore, unfortunately.
Toronto's pretty wholesome. Main Street in Winnipeg when I was a kid, that was a rough neighborhood. Toronto, generally pretty easygoing. No fuss, no bother to me about Toronto.
Gang influences in Toronto we didn't see as a child.
Definitely there are gang influences in Toronto, but I remember being 24 years old and an entire building in a really nice subdivision, I think it was Fort Rouge in Winnipeg, exploded because all the biker gangs had stored so much gunpowder and explosives and stuff in there that someone had set off a light and the whole building had exploded, took out half a block. So that gives you some idea of what Manitoba was like when I was a kid.
Cherry Beach is in Scarborough, correct, Chuck? Was that downtown? I can't remember. I was there when I was a kid.
Cherry Beach is right downtown. I mean, it's within biking distance.
Huh. Okay, well, I was definitely there when I was a kid. Yeah. Well, I used to go to Scarborough Bluffs all the time.
Yeah, Scarborough Bluffs. Cherry Beach is to the west of Scarborough Bluffs, I believe.
And back in those days, we could drive an hour and a half south and be at one of the neatest places in the world back then was Crystal Beach. I don't know. You must have been to Crystal Beach in your life, eh?
Everything changes. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they had one of the biggest roller coasters in the world there. I remember that.
Yeah.
We used to go down there.
And I do agree that our current government is essentially corrupt, especially the national government. They forgot to count the money for 2 years running. That to me means a surprising amount of that money has ended up in the pockets of the DM's friends.
Well, I think our whole systems are from top to bottom are corrupt. The judicial, every aspect of what's going on in this country seems to be corrupted, that they've all been taken aside and told what the program is, and either you're on board or you're not. I look at the amount of doctors that have been silenced in this country since the onslaught of this scandemic. That's criminal beyond criminal that we're not allowed to hear opposing opinions. But that's the world we're living in. And now we see the government passing all kinds of new bills. Yeah, well, that's where we're at, Chuck. I mean, we're in a communist dictatorship right now is the way I see it. Basically, he can do anything.
Communist dictatorship. Soft, the government hasn't sent out the military to shoot us.
Not yet. But they built the camp. They built the camps for us, Chuck. voluntary isolation camps.
But I don't think any of what's going on up here is because we've had the wrong types of immigrants or because we've had too many or we've had too few. A lot of it is because people like you and I, people who know better, lost track of politics for long periods of time. And now we're playing catch up to get up to speed on what the government has done in our absence. And we will catch up and we will shut them down at some point. But right now it's our fault. We didn't deal with this soon enough.
Yeah, we've all been complacent in a lot of different ways, haven't we, Chuck, over the years? And that complacency has kind of caught up with us now. Canada's never had the enemy inside the gates, but now the enemy is inside the gates. And a lot of Canadians just either cognitive dissidents don't really want to recognize what's going on around them. I believe that's changing now. I do. I'm starting to see a change.
People are noticing it. And I do notice that a lot of the problems came up because our education system was corrupted 15 and 20 and 30 years ago. That's why people like Trudeau grew up. That's why people like our finance minister and deputy prime minister grew up the way they were. That's why the education system is worried about the color of your skin instead of the content of your character. And these are things we need to deal with.
I know. The education programs are a disgusting situation in our country. They really are. But they're going to turn out good little robots. They're just turning out good little robots, Chuck. And now we've got to put masks on. Yeah, now we've got to put masks on them for the last couple of years. We're really screwing up their tiny little brains. We're recycling their carbon dioxide. We're making them sick to protect them against something that will never, ever, ever, ever affect them. What kind of world are we in?
When I was a kid, I thought carbon dioxide was a good thing.
It is for plants. It's a great thing. That's what plants live on, man. But we're not supposed to recycle it into our body because it's a poison.
No. Carbon dioxide isn't a poison. It gives us a headache. Carbon monoxide is a poison and kills
carbon dioxide
us. And that only comes from bad cars.
Yeah, but carbon dioxide has detrimental effects on the human body. That's documented. It's what the basis of hypoxia is. So
no, I accept that. But the more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, the more trees grow.
Chuck, when we're at a premium growing situation on the planet, I believe our concentration of carbon dioxide is around 1,800 per 1,000. Am I correct? I believe that's the number. But we're at about 400.
I thought it was lower. I thought it was around 400 to 600. 600.
That's where we're at right now, yeah. Between 400 to 600. But if you look at the history of the planet, when we were in premium, when the whole planet was just green, because of volcanoes and stuff like that, our concentration was up around 1,800 to 2,000 parts. So we're a long
ways away from that. I agree. Plants grow better.
But we're going to have a carbon tax.
Animals grow bigger.
Yeah. But we got to have a carbon tax to save the planet, man. Where's that money going, Chuck? What a joke.
Well, it's not going to me. It's going to Klaus Schwab's friends.
I know that.
It's going to businesses.
And we're just getting more and more, and we're getting screwed over and screwed over more and more, and it's only going to get better, Chuck. We only got about 2 minutes left here, my friend. This is I've enjoyed this conversation with you today, my friend, immensely. So I'd love to get you back in, Chuck, because you're a pretty smart guy, and I love having smart guys on my show. So I'm going to let you say a couple things, and I'm going to have to let you go, my friend, but thanks again.
I enjoyed talking with you, Barry. You bring up important points that need to be discussed and cannot be dismissed without losing an understanding of where we are and where we should be going. With that said and done, I disagree with you on a couple of those points.
That's what we're allowed to disagree on. We're always allowed to disagree. That makes life interesting. And I love listening to contrary opinions.
Disagreement is legitimate. Peer review. Without peer review, we cannot improve our understanding of the public, our understanding of science, or our knowledge.
Well said. Well said. Chuck, I hope to have you back on again soon. Thanks for joining me today.
You will. Thank you.
And I'll see you on Tuesday night.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good night, Barry.
Bye for now. I love your giggle, man. Bye for now. Okay, folks, we'll be back in about 4 minutes with Mr. Jürgen Wollrath. Boy, he's got lots to say today. Hang around. It should be good.
The love of God has been extended to a Savior of all.
welcome back, Third Hour, and thanks, Chuck, for coming in. That was an interesting conversation, and I hope to have that guy back soon. That was fun. Save the best for the last. I shouldn't say that because it'll go right to his head, but always good to have Jürgen Wallrath on my show. And he was listening to my show over the years, has heard Jürgen talk many, many times. And I've been looking forward to this conversation. Jürgen, welcome back. And I'm going to start with your pet peeve of the week.
Well, all right. Well, thanks a lot, Barry, for having me, first of all. And thanks to all the listeners who take time to listen to a couple of old farts like me and Barry. I really appreciate that. And the pet peeve is actually a pet peeve that I've had for a long time. And this is this entire notion that the Nazis lost the war. We're looking at a situation now where it's actually being revealed that the Nazis didn't really lose the war, did they? They just actually changed their headquarters, their modus operandi. They hid very well in various parts of the world during and after the Second World War, and obviously established a very strong force in the Ukraine area that has been disrupting the geopolitical the future of those people in that area ever since the end of the Second World War. So this is nothing new. It's a pet peeve of the week, but it's actually a pet peeve of the current decade. The notion that we were fooled and lied to, of course, we've been lied to about everything. So just take the notion that the Nazis lost the war and reverse that lie. And you can see it play out right now in real time with the Azov Brigade and all these people and all these nefarious things that have been happening in the Ukraine, but we are finally coming to a point where all of this, I believe, is coming to a head, and more people are starting to see it for what it is. Although the blinders are still on a great majority, I believe that this is the greatest lie that has been perpetrated on mankind. And if you look at it, you know, it was actually right in our face, because one of the key strategists that developed flying rockets was Wernher von Braun, and he was hired by NASA, and NASA was created basically, you know, run by an ex-Nazi, if you want to look at it. So now I think historically people are going to start to see it for what it really is, hopefully. And they'll see Putin, and although he's not the favorite leader, he's not the most benevolent of men, and he does have his faults and foibles like every other leader on this planet, there are, I believe, new alliances that have been formed ever since Trump was in office. And I believe that some of these nefarious people are being found out for what they are. And the greatest thing now, on top of what we're seeing with this Nazification of Ukraine, which has been going on forever, is the realization that people are starting to see it for what it is. I think more and more people are seeing it for what it is. So
all you hear on media, all you hear on media, Jürgen, is bad Russia, bad Russia, bad Russia.
Yeah.
You hear nothing.
And that's why you have to, that's why you have to lean the other way, right? Because what has the media done all this time? They've lied to us. So you have to open your eyes and ears, and you have to then rely on your gut instinct and say, okay, what is true here? That's at at the core of all of this, you know? We tend to look at things and rattle it around our brain. We try to use some critical thinking, those of us who still have that left in our minds, right? It rattles around in our brains, and at the end of the day, you got to throw it to your gut and say, what does my gut tell me here?
Yeah, well,
what do I really feel? So, based on my life experience and all the things that have happened to me in my particular case in 72 years of walking on this planet, you know, I've had a ton of terrible things happen to me, and it's made me, and my wife and my family and everybody around me, it's made me come to realize that the world is not a utopia, and there are very, very bad things going on, and we need to come to that realization that it happens mostly in the political arena, because most people don't pay attention to the political arena. But the political arena certainly pays attention to you, and that's where we find the biggest conundrum in humanity, is that people who just want to live their lives and be left alone, they don't care about the political process, they're the ones that are responsible for the rest of us suffering, because we care about the political process and we take the time to research and study, where the rest of them don't. They're only experts every 4 years when they believe the media tells them that this party's going to save the world.
New knight on white on the white horse is coming to save you. We talked about this many times. You know, Jurgen, if the mainstream media did their job in Canada, you would see the outcry that we need in this country to put a stop to this. But they just don't give Canadians the information that they need. They are the biggest enemy of the country. And I'm going to vote for you as president of CBC, folks. So let's start that campaign right here today. Jurgen wants to be the president of the CBC. And, boy, I'll tell you, Canadians would be – their jaws would be dropping for a couple of days, the first couple of days you were in office, Jurgen, because they'd hear what they need to hear. It is so much crap on media. It is – you know, Jurgen, I turn on our local radio here. I can't listen to it long. But I can't turn it on any time in the day and not go 10 minutes without a get your child vaccinated. Get your child vaccinated.
Yeah.
1 million vaccinations now administered to children. They're safe and effective. Get your do your part. Protect your child. Well, folks, there is no threat to our child. And what these people, Jurgen, of all the things they're doing to us right now and to society, that breaks my heart, my friend. It breaks my heart.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
That is the most egregious thing happening right now in our society, there's no question. Oh. And 2 years of muzzling these children, not being able to see facial expressions in the schoolyard and things like that.
Psychological effects.
2 years, they've robbed these children of their childhood.
Unbelievable. And the psychological effects they have brought onto our children right now, experts, and I listen to the experts talk a lot.
Unreal.
I can't retain all the information, Jurgen, but it goes in and it makes total sense. Yes. But the damage being done, my friend, is going to take a generation to heal right now if we put it all to an end right now. That's what we're doing to our children. And then we're sticking this concoction into their body that they do not need, folks. They do not need in any shape or form. Zero. You're in zero, and we're allowing this to go on. What's going on in society that we allow this stuff to go on right now, Jurgen? What's happened to our world? It's so sad.
It's absolutely. Yeah, and what we've seen now, of course, is the assault on families and children during this whole COVID thing. And now what's happened, you see how popular, how would you say, I guess the masses on the planet are rejecting all of these mandates and restrictions, and all of these protests are getting bigger and larger, and all of that is fine. But what we see now, of course, is them backpedaling to a certain extent on the pharma industrial complex, and they sort of pass the baton to the military industrial complex, because the same people that are on the boards of those two complexes have decided that, oh, now we can make more money with weapons, of course, because that's why they left a pile of weapons in Iraq or Iran, right, where in Afghanistan, pardon me. They left a pile of weapons there because now all those people invested in making weapons are cha-ching, cha-ching. Here we go again. So Big Pharma has just passed the baton, right, to screw the public over again. And the public is going to be made to feel that they should go to war and fight for Ukrainians when no one's allowed to fight for themselves over here. I mean, this nonsense is absolutely mind-boggling. If you look at people that have any sense of critical thinking and they believe in this madness, it's just unfathomable to me that people are still walking around thinking that everything is rosy and yay Ukraine. They don't have a clue on what's going on over there. And are poisoned again. And like I say, they've just passed it. Have you ever seen a time when our House of Commons has been unanimous on anything, and yet every member showed up when Zelensky was speaking in the House of Parliament for the first time in 2 years? Not every member showed up when the convoy was there and Canadians were struggling and they wanted to give a message out. No, but they all show up for Ukraine. What's going on here? That shows us exactly the globalist intentions of our own government. Every freaking party was there supporting Zelensky. Unanimous.
What can we do?
Never been unanimous on anything.
I know that. I saw that, Jurgen. And you're making it great. It's unbelievable. You know, I get this question asked to me at least 10 times a day right now, Jurgen, is what can we do to stop this? And people are starting to realize that things are really messed up and that something has to be done, but they feel completely powerless. What can they do?
I know what to do.
Because I get that question every day. I'm not kidding.
I know what to do. I know what to do.
Well, let's hear your opinion, my friend.
Stop the rallies at your local political office, stop the rallies at the legislature, take the rallies directly to the media corporations, directly to the people walking out of the building, and make it personal.
Amen.
They're lying to you and being paid for it. And you're standing at your local MPP's office going, freedom, freedom. No, no, you take a sign that says, stop lying to me, and you take it to your local media. That's it, that's all. And everybody goes there. These people are your neighbors, and they're lying to you. They're being paid by someone else to lie to you and feed you garbage. And what are you doing? You're having protests down Yonge Street, down all these major roads. Oh, great. This is great. And I see it once in a while. They gather around CBC here and there and here. No, no. This has to be a full frontal attack on the media. Enough is enough. When do we say enough is enough? When? When all the children are gone, when all the children are jabbed, is that when we say enough is enough, that you can continue to lie to me on a daily basis through radio, newspaper, your television, that is poisoning, that has programmed all of us into this mindset that is so hypnotic that I've got friends that I have completely abandoned because I can't stand it anymore?
Yeah, there's people that I can't even talk to anymore, Jürgen, because it doesn't matter
exactly
how much information you put in front of them, how much factual information you challenge them. And that's what I do when I talk to people. I challenge them to go look at this themselves, to won't take my word for anything. All I'm doing is passing on information, and go look at it yourself. But they just don't want to see it. It's a level of cognitive dissonance in our society that I've never seen before. It's like people are in a cult right now, a state of hypnotism. If it tells people a lie enough times, they'll believe it. We are in a lot of trouble, but in the same mouthful, I am seeing more and more and more Canadians waking up. And like I said, I'm getting that question asked to me all the time here. What can we do right now? And what you just said is a very viable point, that we have to take the fight right to the enemy's door. So I'm going to promote that idea a lot.
A lot of people, Barry, they say, well, you know, you can't make it personal. It's not their fault. It's their job. No, no, no. It is personal.
Oh,
they've robbed your life. They've stolen your livelihood. They say they want your children. At what point do you say, no, you're not having my children? When do we wake up to that garbage? You cannot have them anymore. And take these drag queens away from the libraries at 5 years of age. Enough. We've had enough of this. We're not catering to that stuff anymore. We've decided that we're going to have a society based on strong family values, the love of a mother and the father for their children, and a family of generations of children that are willing to work for a humanity that glows with beauty and brightness and develops art and makes things, and we have a society that flows. What do we have now? A society of keyboard warriors, a whole bunch of people that work on computers in these government cubicles that are happy to get a gold star from their supervisor. They're 50 years old, and they act like they're a kindergarten child.
But they get their participation trophy. Sorry. They get their participation trophy, you know?
They do. They do. They get gold stars at the federal government. Like, I can't believe I got a gold star for my work. Oh, my God. 50 years old. It's just,
we shouldn't laugh about it because it's really sad, but we got to laugh about it, Jürgen, because it's absolutely beyond insanity now. It really is. And it makes me ask myself every day, why can't people see this? I feel like I'm alone. You know, I mean, we have people, like I said, riding around on bicycles on a beautiful sunny day yesterday in Terrace with masks on their face. And I just shake my head. I don't even know what to say to these people anymore. The mask mandates were lifted. And then you got people still putting their masks on. Oh, boy. Are we in trouble?
Yeah. So here's the thing. You know, I talk to some of these people now, and I say, okay, so the Trudeau plan, the Biden plan, the Klaus Schwab plan, all these people's plan is to build back better. So tell me something. Is your way of life better? Are prices better? Is your relationship better? Is your governance better? Are the roads better? Is communication better? Is our water better? Is our health better? Tell me what they've built back better. Name me one thing they built back better. All you supporters of these do-nothings, keyboard, oh, I'm just Oh, it's enough to drive you insane. They have absolutely done nothing, but come to power, and now everybody wants war. Isn't that something? Now we just want war. COVID's over, so let's have a war. We need to kill some people. Let's have a world war. You know, let's go and help this guy who's an actor and who has all these videos out there where he's naked playing piano with his penis. Yeah, this is the kind of guy that we're supposed to look up to. This is the kind of guy who's a global leader. You know, I've seen so many videos of this debauched lunatic dancing around naked on stage, and everybody's laughing. This is funny, playing piano with your penis. I cannot believe that people fall for that crap. And everybody's going around, and they've got their flags on there. I can't stand it. I go to Facebook. I want to throw up. I see these people, and they're so righteous. They're so the signaling their virtue. I'm such a good person because, oh, my gosh, we got to stand for the people of Ukraine. And, oh, my gosh, Putin's such a monster. And, it's disgusting. It really is revolting. People should open their eyes and ears. And like I said when I started this, my pet peeve of the month is the people not realizing that the Nazis did not lose the war.
They never did. They just moved.
They just moved into different areas of the planet and had their plan all along. And that's where all this stuff comes from that we've had to deal with, all this gender stuff, everything that's going on. You can blame whoever you want, but these people have been hiding there all these years, machinating their plans that they had during the Second World War with the Allies. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. There was people in England that were working with them. There was people in America that was working with them during the war. I mean, Henry Ford made a fortune, didn't he, selling them a bunch of parts for tanks and stuff like that. Like, well, I think a lot of Americans that made a ton of money.
We can't talk about that.
No,
Bayer Corporation, they had nothing to do with the war. Prescott Bush, he had nothing to do with that. His connection to the German, nothing. It's all conspiracy talk. Stop talking like that. People think
the royal family
not working in their best behalf. We can't have that, Jürgen. Come on, buddy. We'll get censored.
The royal family.
I know well, you know, and I know every war for the last 100 years has been funded on both sides by the banks. Period.
Yeah.
And that's all people really know have to know. I mean, war is money, and they've always got to have a war, and now they need another war. But the scary point about this is that these countries have nukes, and I'll tell you, one nuke could ruin our day, especially a MIRV. One MIRV is going to cause a lot of problems, and the Russians have how many hundreds of those? I mean, we've got enough nuclear weapons, Jürgen, to kill everybody on the planet. I think it's 78 times apiece. Where are we ever going to use these things? What are we doing with them? And why can't we spend that money feeding people that are starving in this world? Well, of course, we know the military-industrial complex runs the world. Them and Big Pharma are in cahoots, and everything that happens in our country and our world is via these organizations, bar none. They control it all, and they have been for a long time. We've got to break that paradigm. We really do. We've got to make people aware of what's going on and where we're going in the future. Pretty scary place, Jürgen. It really is. Go ahead.
And what's happening is they keep us in a fog of fear, but the masses are awakening. So what's happening? Fences around Capitol buildings are being constructed all over the planet, right? As the fear shifts to those in power, because they know the tipping point has been reached. So what have we learned in all of this, these exercises? We've learned a lot of things in the last few months. We learned that the government can declare an emergency and take your money, right? We learned that you cannot fund a national protest without the government coming after you if it's not a protest on their side. And we also learned that you cannot fund a national protest, but you can fund an international protest and you can fund a foreign war. That's okay. And we also learned that truckers are terrorists, racist, homophobic, misogynistic, Islamophobic racists and rapists. And
bigots,
also,
you forgot bigots.
And bigots, sorry. I might have forgot a couple more as well. Anything
that
doesn't
get them all in
the agenda, right? We also learned that bouncy castles are now signs of occupation, because that's all you heard in Ottawa was occupation. And remind me, Barry, that after this, let's talk about Ottawa a little bit, okay? Because I lived there for a long time. I know the town. I'd really like to talk about Ottawa. And we also learned that BLM and LGBTQRMSTLVMYNZ, binary, non-binary, anything but white is okay, can do anything, everyone else should shut up. That we learned that, right? And we also learned, here's another thing we learned, God is out, government is the new God.
Right.
Right? And that's universal.
Bow down.
Another thing we learned, division, and we learn that all the time, is the key to conquering. Divide, 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 and they just keep dividing us on every level they possibly can. Every week there's a new way to divide the planet and humanity and all good people, whether right. they say you're a liberal conservative, I don't like you because you're one of those other people. So we also learned, because of all that, that people ignore the reality of that. And so some of those people are just plain stupid. We learned that. So we have to give up on trying to get those stupid people on our side. They're just going to be stupid forever. We also – here's another thing we learned. I think we learned that the war is everywhere. It's not just in the Ukraine. This is a key thing we just learned. Everybody needs to focus on that. Everyone's focusing on Ukraine. But right now you need to look at this. Why is it that – The weapons are in Ukraine, but the ideology is all over the world. So you have to look at it from that point of view, right? You can't look at it from just a physical soldiers on the ground point of view. You have to look at it from a metaphysical point of view, where the whole planet is engaged in this because the bad people are being found out throughout the planet for their corruption and all their misdeeds. And so this already makes it a global adventure in war, really, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a different kind of war. And I think for most of us, we're kind of stunned because how do you react to a war that isn't physical? Because we always thought it was just one person shooting straight at another. But we're in a war of information, disinformation, misinformation, misguided loyalties, espionage, counter-espionage, all these things, especially that relate to earlier on in our conversation, that relate to the media lies and the media propagating this notion that everything on the left is okay, they can get away with murder. If you're on the right, oh my God, you're everything bad on this planet. That's what they've done. They've accomplished that, right? It's in my song, Upside Down Crazy Town. People want to look at that.
You want to sing it for us, Jürgen? You got some background music? Why don't you sing it for us? Live on the air. Huh?
Actually, what I could do is I could read the lyrics, because I think the lyrics is what the song is all about, right? Because that's really – when I wrote the song, I was never concerned about the music. I was just totally concerned about making sure that the lyrics were effective. And so, yeah, sure, if you want, I can basically just read out the lyrics for you if you want.
Well, if you want to.
They took a world full of potential, only some are now essential. Turning one against another, no more father, no more mother. Choices are obliterated, factories are eliminated, children going hungry while the bankers are making money. Stop it! We've got to keep connecting the youngest with the old, because the oldest fought for freedoms that are never to be sold. Deceivers throw out wisdom that come from who knows where. Up is down and down is up as long as you got good hair. Wolves are dressing up like sheep in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town, crazy town. We only have two genders, and climate always changes, but social engineers establish wider ranges. Pronouns are offensive, while truth is on the defensive. Drag queens are progressive, while conservatives oppressive. Since when? Exerting social pressure while forcing certain measures. Look and see, mask or no, as we watch divisions grow. Black and white are made to fight. Who determines what is right? The truth is so elusive. Do people even care? It doesn't seem to matter as long as they got good hair. Wolves are dressing up like sheep in upside-down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside-down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside-down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside-down crazy town, crazy town. From Germany to Calgary and all around the globe, as times they are changing, we have to be more bold. The picture is unfolding as most just look away while others see what's coming. Some gather as they pray, singing hallelujah. For we must be relentless, and comfort we will find when we hear the answers to ease our troubled minds. We must not be so blinded by those with crooked smiles, but look beyond their image, the fashion and the style. Look towards what lies within. That matters if you dare. Most people are oblivious as long as they got good hair. As long as you look good, doesn't matter what you say. Fluorite stares and no one cares as they all gaze away. Illusions are created, it happens all the time, by liars and deceivers sipping expensive wine. And the wolves are dressing up like sheep in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town, crazy town. From Medicine Hat to Italy, lockdowns are a tragedy. Experts claim to know the score, but money opens up their door. Therapeutics were denied, and kids committing suicide. Phony stories circled round, dead people laying on the ground. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Now we must face adversity and battle to infinity, and wars are always hard to fight. To establish what is right, seek out the injustice that stares you in the face, or you can say sayonara to the human race. Goodbye, yellow brick road. The numbers, they were phony, and all the tests were fake, and lots of people really died with miserable heartache. We have to stop relying on those who are selected. Let the lion roar within you, and may those liars be rejected. And the wolves are dressing up like sheep in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town, crazy town, crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town.
I don't know how you do that, man. I have no idea. I could never do something like that, Jurgen. So that was good, but thanks for doing that. But the words say it all, don't they? The words say it all. Fluoride smiles. Let me see now. Fluoride fluorosis affects about 43% of children in the United States of America today. Good one to throw in there because we don't talk about that enough, and we should be. But it's just one of multiple things that we should be talking about on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Great song. Great song. Love it.
Thanks a lot, Barry. Appreciate that.
You wanted to talk about Brooks today a little bit. Jurgen, there was something on your mind there you wanted to talk
about?
Well,
I just, you know, yeah, in general, I want to talk about Canadian communities in general, what they're doing to these communities in bringing all these illegals in, and how, you know, there are situations that one situation happened to a friend of mine in Brook a couple of years ago, actually. Just one road over, there was a woman found stabbed in the chest. She had a knife in her chest on the front lawn, and this is really hard to talk about, but that community also had, you know, that one of their friends, my friend's family, lost their son. Their son got murdered there as well. I just hear these horror stories coming from that particular town. And as you study and you see some other towns, it's happening sort of all over the country where they have basically, I think, let in people in Wroxham Road and all these other places, and then they just ship them to areas where they believe they can steal the vote or whatever they want to do. But we're not doing what they did. Let me put it this way. When we came to Canada in 1955, we were told three things. We were told basically, number one, you obey the laws of the land, right? Number two, you work hard. Number three, you learn English. Those were the three things I remember my dad telling me. He said when I was very young, 56 in 1957 or something. And you know, he says, son, this is why we're here. We came to a new place, and I know you're frustrated because nobody speaks German. And then it was very hard for me, difficult for me as a young boy here. But he said, those are the three things that, you know, we need to do to be successful in this new land that we've decided to call our home. And so we did all those things. Those were the things that, you know, made us successful. And, you know, it took my dad 8 years to form his first business, but he worked like three jobs a day. I never saw him. He was always building stuff, and he worked for home builders. He worked for Simpson Sears, all these different things. But I guess the long story short is those three things that they told us, you know, work hard. Now you get people coming in. They don't have to work. We give them a check. We put them immediately on welfare. So that's been stolen. Obey the laws of the land. Well, these people, you know, they've already broken the law by coming here illegally, and our government has already broken the law by allowing them to do that. So what law are they talking about? And then number three, of course, the newcomers are told they don't have to learn any of our official languages, which tells you again that the United Nations is in complete control of our country. We don't have control anymore. The fact that they're allowing people to come here and they don't even have to learn our languages, what does that tell you? If you're an intelligent Canadian, you need to figure out that what they're doing is they're replacing you. Because there's millions of people on this planet. And as you've heard our prime minister say, he has no use for old stock Europeans. So what you got a use for? He's got a use for transhumanism? Has he got a use for transgenders? Has he got a use for foreigners? What's he got a use for if he doesn't have a use for people like me and my family, because I'm an old stock European, right? So what do they have use for? I'm a hardworking Canadian that worked his entire life. All the people you're bringing in now, you're giving welfare to, and you're telling them there's a free ride here because you've got all kinds of Canadians willing to sacrifice their 40, 50, 60, 80 hours a week to pay taxes so you can live off of them.
Yep.
It's absolute insanity.
It's so upside down.
It starts with CBC. I want it. Give me six months.
Yep. I would love to see that happen. We need to see that happen, because if we don't control the media, we'll never have the ear of the Canadian people. And like I said many times, Jürgen, if CBC actually did their job and exposed to Canadians, especially when it comes to the jibby jabs and all the contrary information that's out there available, all the doctors that are being censored, all the reports that are not being put in front of people. The Pfizer dumps last week, I had it on my page. It's disappeared. That was monumental in itself. But what my daughter's doing right now, she's got a copy of it. This is something I think everybody should try to do right now, is get a copy of that dump, that information, and print it off and make up 200 or 300 copies and just walk up to people and hand it to them and say, look, this is right from the manufacturer of these jibby jabs. This is what they're telling you. They wanted to hide this information from the public. They wanted 75 years to hide this information from the public. An American judge made them release it. They had to release the information, and it's absolutely mind-boggling. And if everybody saw that, Jürgen, if everybody in Canada saw those reports tomorrow or tonight, there wouldn't be another vaccination issued in the country. Nobody would stick that in their body, but they're not getting the information. That is the biggest problem we have right now. So going back to paper, folks, they used to do that in the old days, you know, hand out information, talk to somebody about it for 2 seconds and just say, hey, here's some information from Pfizer, and you've got their attention. It's fact. It's not BS, folks. What a powerful weapon that would make right now for us. Go ahead.
Listen, I was thrown off of Facebook again. So what I've done is you know, in talking about all these things, it goes to censorship, it goes to media, all their lies and all of that. So I prepared a little letter, because I'm going to get out of Facebook. I've been troubled, because I've always been of the belief you need to sit as close to the enemy as possible. And that's one of the reasons why I've stayed on Facebook, because I just like to poke it. And every time I poke it properly, of course, they ban me for 30 days. Last year, I only had, I think it was 3 months on Facebook. The 9 other months, I was banned from the platform. So
yeah, I'm getting there with you. Go ahead.
I wanted to stick with that philosophy, that I wanted to stay with the enemy. But I think I'm done with trying to do anything on Facebook. I've moved over to BitChute. I do little 1-minute takes on BitChute that are starting to get some traction. It's called Wolfgang's Tavern. If anyone wants to get on BitChute, follow me there. Please get on to Wolfgang's Tavern, at capital W, capital T, all one word. I do little short little 1-minute, 2-minute things is my longest, I think. I try to stay under a minute just to give a little bit of information, short little jabs at whoever needs to be jabbed at. So get on there. I'm on Gab as well at Jürgen Vollrath. But what I did, Barry, was I prepared a letter for Facebook. Do you mind if I read that to your audience?
Fire away.
Okay. Because I'm going to leave it. So here's the letter I'm writing. These are times to make a stand, and this is one of those times. Many friendships have developed through this platform. This platform designed by nefarious humans who then crowned the Zuck as the front man. Over the years, of course, we have experienced a shift in the allowance of anything that goes against the mainstream of news and critical thinking no longer permitted to question that narrow narrative of thought. I ran a news page that coincided with my radio podcast for many years, developing relationships with trusty people all over the world to deliver what we believe to be the truth. Against the grain, News You're Not Supposed to Know was growing exponentially, but as more contributors began questioning this entire pandemic, the administration of Facebook decided that our news page should be wiped out, and that's what they did. Following that, I decided to question things on my personal page, but alas, to no avail, as the truth as I see it is not permitted, and so banning has become the norm for me, and so my days on this platform are now over. I have been a political activist my entire life and have never shied away from controversial topics that affect our lives. I have stood for truth and honesty, hard work, family values, and abiding by law. These attributes seem to be offensive to our current ruling class, who would censor my opinions based on a lifetime of active experience. I take great comfort in knowing that our values of love and light will eventually crush these deceivers and liars as more and more truth reflects on the demons that try to control us. I will try to join a class action lawsuit now and seek some justice. My love goes out to the thousands that truly care about the future of humanity, and may your resolve never diminish. If we all left Facebook, it would crash, right? Goodbye, Facebook. It was fun once. I'm out.
Class action lawsuits. Are any of those happening in Canada that you know about?
There's a couple in the States.
I know there's a couple in the States, but nothing in Canada.
I know some people I can hook up with.
Well, we should. You know what? I agree. I shouldn't be on Facebook, but, you know, right now I'm using the enemy's tool against them. And I haven't been banned now for a couple months, which is surprising, because I've posted a lot of controversial stuff, and they haven't struck me down, which is really kind of surprising to me. I thought I'd put some stuff on there that would get me banned, but for some reason they haven't hit me again. But the last time they hit me, Jürgen, they hit me for something I said a year ago, over a year ago, and they brought it up, and they gave me a 30-day ban for something I said in the end of 2020. And they brought it up, and they banned me for 30 days. I'm going, what? Are you kidding me? But they've left me alone here for a little while, and for right now, I know I have to learn. I'm very computer illiterate, so I know I have to learn to use other platforms. Wimkin is one that's been talked to me a lot about lately. Have you heard of that one? They're new.
No.
Okay, well, that was recommended to me. I do have an account at DLive. I know I should start doing some stuff over there. But I've got to admit, I'm a little complicit right now with using the platforms I'm on because they haven't hit me. But when they do, I probably get away for good, but I should do that beforehand based on fundamentals of what they're doing to our society. So I admit, I've got a weak spot here. I'll go to my corner. I'll go to my corner. But anyways, did you see these reports? I was going to talk to Roger about it in the first hour because he's all over this, and there's quite a few people that are all over this about the incredible spikes we see in temperature at the Antarctic. Have you read those reports? Have you seen it? Anything on it?
I've looked at a lot of stuff in the Antarctic. I haven't seen anything on temperature spikes. When did this come up?
I'll send you the link after the show, and I'll see if I can post it here in the chat for people. But they're recording temperatures that, I actually got in touch with Jim Lee today, and I've been talking to other people, emergency management associates, who's got really good information on this. I also called a couple other individuals before the show started, and it's factual that the Antarctic saw a spike in temperature for 3 days in a row that was 50 to 90 degrees above normal.
Wow. 50
to 90 degrees above normal. So, you know what, I talked to some pretty reputable people today, folks, but I can't 100% confirm if this is actually factual. So I'm going to put that out there right now, but I'll send the links. I'd recommend people kind of look it into for themselves, but everything I've seen so far indicates to me that it's truthful. So I'll leave it at that, Jurgen, but I'll try and post this link for us. I sent it to Steve just before the show. I'll go get it and put it up in chat here. People can have a look. But that's crazy. That's unheard of. And how that happened, I don't know. But that's unheard of. It's mind-boggling, past the point of mind-boggling. If that was to occur on a regular basis now for some reason, we can't figure out why it happened. People can't explain it. But if it was to be something we're seeing because of a pole shift or something we've talked about in the past, and those were to continue, boy, I'll tell you, would you see problems on this planet in a week or two, Jurgen, with the amount of water that would be released? Catastrophic. So anyways, I'll send you the link. I'm not gonna talk any more about it because I can't 100% confirm it myself, but I'll send a link for people. Just wanted to bring that
up.
Well,
it is. Antarctica is an anomaly that the rest of the planet has never questioned, and that's another thing that is a bit of a pet peeve, right? How come we've never questioned the fact that the nation states have all signed an agreement to not go down to the Antarctica? What are they hiding there?
Yeah,
what have they been hiding for so many years, right? Because there's no problem in developing the Arctic, and there's all kinds of ships sailing across the north and all this stuff. There's icebreakers and all this stuff. But for some reason, only cruise ships are allowed on the outer fringes of Antarctica, and the rest of us are not allowed. And why did John Kerry in the last election have to fly down to Antarctica?
Yeah, right? What's going on down there?
Well, why did he have to go there? Like, and nobody says anything. Nobody questions. It's just like every other thing, right? Nobody questions anything anymore. You're not allowed to question because then you're a racist white supremacist if you question anything, right?
And a bigot. Don't forget the bigot. That's important.
And a bigot and a misogynist. And what else is there? Yeah, an Islamophobe. Don't forget.
Right, and a fringe minority. Very small fringe.
And you don't like anybody, and you shouldn't be tolerated, and we don't have space for you. You're taking up too much space.
And we're going to do everything we can to protect the public against these people that are spreading this misinformation, especially about the vaccination programs, to actually think that these things are actually harming people. And we know about it, and we'd allow that to go on. Have you ever heard anything crazier, folks? Don't pay attention to Jurgen Ballrath or Barry Prince, because they are on the list of people that we're going to take to 991 Queen Street East. I think it was in Toronto where they had the insane asylum when I was growing up. I think it's 999 Queen Street. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. But that's where we're going. Oh, and they built a camp for us too, Jurgen. They got our camps made.
Yeah.
I'm going to send them a request to ask if I can be in the same camp as you so we can hang out for a little bit.
That'd be great. At least if I have some buddies in the camp, I'll enjoy the camp a little bit more.
Three squares and a roof over your head, man. What could be wrong?
Yeah, that's right. At a time when there's going to be food shortages, bring it on.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think about digital ID, Jurgen? You know how hard they're pushing that.
Can't wait. I can't wait. Snap my forehead. Because I can't wait.
No, it's going to be the RFID chip, buddy. That's what they'll use. Well, of course it is. They've been promoting it now for a couple of years. The cool new way to do things. Have all your information in your hand. Don't have to carry a wallet. Just boom, everything you want to do, just zip, 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 zip. And, of course, the public's going, wow, is that ever a cool idea, man? Kind of like an iPhone coming along. And a lot of them are going to go for it. And, of course, that'll tie into digital ID when they bring that down the tubes. And that'll happen after they collapse the dollar, because I believe that's in the very near future. And I say that because of everything I see going on right now. What do you think? Think that's going to happen soon?
I see it happening all over the place. There seems to be no resistance, and a lot of people are just happy to comply all the time. It was shown during this COVID thing, right? People are just very happy to go along, believe everything the government says, and you and I know that's not real. It's very phony. It's very contrived. You know, you look at the last century, how mankind fought against communism and fascism, and how many millions of people were murdered. And in this century, we still welcome the same ideals. So how stupid is mankind, really? You look at it. Look at the last century. How many hundreds of millions of people were killed by these ideologies That's all they do. And you listen to people like AOC and Bernie Sanders and everything should be free and la-di-da, hold your hand in utopia, where it's all about equity. There's no equality. It's just equity, and everyone should have the same outcome. Everyone should be making 25. If you're going to make the minimum wage $15, why not make it $30 an hour? And if you can just print money, why not just give everybody a freaking $1 million? Just print $1 million for everybody and be done with it. Because that's what you're doing, right?
And they've been doing that for 2 years in Canada.
They're going to run this social credit thing like they did in China with the digital ID. It's all coming. You can see it.
That's all coming.
It's the future. It's been in movies for years. They've been telling us for years that it's coming, right? Because they have to tell us what they're doing. So,
once they've got digital currency in place, we've lost it all. Because they can bring anything along that they want to, and we will have no way of fighting back if we do. All they've got to do is flick the switch. And that's where we're going here in the very near future. That's scary, Jürgen, but that's what they want, complete control of every aspect of your life. And if you don't go along, like the social credit system is going to be implemented in Canada, and if you're a good little poopazin, everything will be fine. But if you buck the system, boy, oh, boy, you're not going to be able to go get a loaf of bread. Talking about a loaf of bread, Jürgen, you watch what happens to our prices in food and fuel. You know, it's going up like crazy now, but you just watch what happens in the next 3 or 4 months with our gas prices. I think we're going to see $3 a liter before the end of the summer.
I wouldn't be surprised. And of course, that'll spike everything. Well, the food price.
I go to the store now, Jürgen, I'm absolutely astounded at what I'm seeing in rises in food. A tub of Kraft peanut butter, and I don't support Kraft. I do buy their peanut butter, but I try not to support their company because we know their history. But all that being said, $9, 4 months ago now is $13.50.
Wow.
And I love my Kraft peanut butter, man. I do. I'm seeing it across the board. Everything is skyrocketing, and it's going to get worse, folks. It really is going to get worse with this food shortage.
Just so you know, I've got a couple of jars in my cabinet here in my stockpile of Kraft peanut butter for you. If you ever run out, I've got some for you.
Yeah, but you'll want $1 million for it, Jürgen. Come on.
Well, no, maybe.
But I'll tell you what. I got some toilet. I'll trade you for some toilet paper. How's that?
That's okay. I don't need toilet paper. I'm good with that.
How about some weed?
I always need weed. So,
got to make sure we've got the essentials in life, and we'll leave it at that. Okay,
Barry, right now, I think Barry, all we got to do is look at one thing, and it's an old adage that's been around for a long, long time, and that is that a nation, any nation really, is judged on how it treats its children and how it treats its seniors. And you look at the last couple of years, what have they done? They've taken the seniors, they basically put them in homes, poisoned them, killed them off because they can't afford to pay them anymore. All our pensions are run dry. So they did that. And the children, what they do, they muzzled them for a couple of years and stole a couple of years of their life. So how are we going to judge this nation? Is this a benevolent nation that cares about its children and its seniors? Obviously not. I'm a senior, and during this whole thing, during the time that every April 1st they get a raise, this year they're all getting $1,000 more a month, and we got, 12 cents last year as a senior? Yeah.
What are you going to spend that money on?
So, this is the nature of how we should be judging what's going on, and yet you still have people parroting and cheering all of these ideals that are destroying everything of value that we stand for. It's absolutely mind-boggling.
It is, and all of a sudden they're going to wake up one day and they're going to ask themselves what happened. And by that time, it might be too late. I know we have a window right now to stop this, Jürgen. I've got to maintain that positivity in my life. Some days I wake up, buddy, I'll be quite honest with you. When I go downtown and see people riding around on a bicycle wearing their masks, I see people all over the place 4 or 5 days after the mandates or a week after the mandates are dropped, still walking around with their masks on their face. I really ask myself if we're going to have a chance to win this or not. But I'm going to stay positive. I know the window's getting smaller, but the window's still there, so we just got to put our foot to the floor. We have no choice. I always maintain, you know, Jurgen, if we win or lose this in the future, at least we can look at ourselves and say we did everything we could. And it's going to, the cards are going to fall where they fall. But I know you're dedicated to fighting this. You see what's coming. You know what's at stake for our children. And it breaks your heart and it breaks my heart. So it's great to have somebody on that feels the same way I do, sees the dangers coming for our society and dedicating himself right now to helping stop it. So it's a pleasure having you on, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Barry. I appreciate that. I've always appreciated our friendship from our first conversation maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So it's been quite a while. It's a battle. We're in it to the end. And, you know, this whole thing right now, I went through it with my wife, the tainted blood scandal. This whole thing right now is the same thing. It's complete deception. It's lies. It's all about feeding a particular narrative. It's all about making sure that government is protected. It's like the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, right? We have people running around right now just screaming about the charter. It's going to protect us. And no, listen, I have to make this point before we end this show.
I want you to.
Canadian people need to stop referring to the Charter of Limited Rights and Restricted Freedoms because it is not what you think it is. This charter can destroy you because it already has. I have friends that have taken it to court, and the judge basically said, we understand it infringes on your individual rights, but the collective rights are far more important. This is a document that was written by communists to protect the communists. It is not a document written by good people to protect the people. It's a charter. Charters were used to run the old Soviet Union. The USSR used charters. They used czars. And it was surprising to me that many years ago, they started using the term czar in the United States. They started using the term czar in Canada. What happened all of a sudden, right? They started using the same phraseology, the same terms that they were using in these communist countries to give us a clue of what they were doing, and people still kept voting for the same clowns and the same system that is actually destroying our freedoms. And it's really sad right now. I'm having so many conversations and arguments with people about the rise of Pierre Poilievre, and all of a sudden the Conservative Party is supposed to save us, and this is all of a sudden now because he's saying the right things, we should all just fly and go over there again, the back and forth between liberals and conservatives. Like, I just cannot believe this conversation is still going on, and we're looking at another Pierre. Really?
I hear it everywhere. People are going, Poilievre, he's the one, he's the new white knight on shining armor coming to save the country. Everything he's saying is true. And I'm hearing him going, folks, stop it. He's just another player. He's controlled opposition, and he's doing exactly what he's being told to do. He's the same as everybody else. He's just got lipstick on. He's the new chosen.
Barry, and here's the question not being answered, because I asked this question of everybody who supports him. I asked the question, do you really believe that he's going to be able to run the country without the backroom boys telling him what to do? Do you really believe that? Do you think that the backroom boys are going to let him do what he wants when they're all a bunch of globalists? Really? They smell victory right now. That's what this is all about. They know that Pierre Poilievre can beat Justin Trudeau, so they're backing him, they're pushing him, they're doing everything they can. They throw up this false guy, Jean Charest, to throw up this thing. Oh, look at that. They're not serious about any of this crap.
Yeah,
this is political theater to the utmost. You believe a leader of the French Liberal Party is now running for the leader of the Conservative Party?
Are you kidding me?
What kind of theater this is?
I know, but that's all I'm hearing now on the internet is Pierre is the man. He's the one that's going to turn this around. He's going to save Canada. Oh. Everything he's saying is true. Blah, 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 blah.
He lied to us at the start, Barry. He lied to us at the start.
I know.
I'm going to put this out there. He lied to us when I was spokesperson for Canadians for Language Fairness. He promised he was going to help with the notion that English speakers were being robbed of opportunities to become supervisors in the federal government, and he hasn't done any of that.
I remember that.
So I'm done with all these clowns. All they do is lie. Stephen Harper lied. And I had this argument again. In 2001 in April, Stephen Harper wrote an article when he was president of the National Citizens Coalition that said bilingualism is the god that died. And then the first thing he did when he was elected was speak French and hop on a plane where it says premier minister instead of prime minister first. That, you know, we've got a country where the law says the English language should be on the left of everything, but they've gone past that. The French language is on the left, and your eyes see that first. So, you know, we're so deceived in this country, it's mind-boggling. And ever since Maurice Strong, you know, that proud, basically one of the architects of the United Nations, and this he was probably Klaus Schwab's mentor. Maurice Strong, right? I imagine that Klaus Schwab was raised with Maurice Strong and all of his acolytes teaching Klaus what to do so that when he was older, he'd be able to do what he's doing today with the World Economic Forum. Maurice Strong was one of the architects of the global nightmare we're living in right now. And you know that because he was a Canadian who died in China at his friggin' mansion, right? So, you know, Canada has been deceived in such a big way. I liken to what we're going through now to the blood scandal of the 80s. They lied then. They covered it up. They're doing the same thing now with with these vaccinations and all of this. They're lying. They're covering up. Same thing as the blood scandal of the 80s. They'll never admit they were wrong. They'll never admit they made a mistake. We need the Nuremberg trials to take place, and these people need to pay for what they've done. Period. Simple.
I don't believe they're going to be able to keep this rabbit in the hat for too much longer, Jürgen. I don't believe that. I believe that that's one of the reasons that Ukraine happened, because it is a distraction. Yeah. It's got everybody looking over there when they should be looking over here. They should be looking at what's going on in our Canadian Parliament and the bills they're trying to pass through here at light speed. Of course, that's not what's happening. Everybody's going rah, 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 Ukraine, Russia, Russia, bad guy. It's almost like the left and right are universally cheering for the Ukraine. And I see some people in the right that are cheering for the Ukraine. And I'm going, what is wrong with these people? What is wrong? Because if you look into the history, like you said earlier in the show, if you look into the history of the Ukraine and what's actually going on over there with Burisma and Hunter Biden and the Biden's connections channeling them to China and blah, 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 you could write a book on it. The funny thing is that, you know, one of the big mainstream media there, New York Times, came out this week and actually admitted that, you know, for years they said there was nothing to the Hunter Biden laptop. It was all fabricated bullcrap. Well, guess what? They came out this week and admitted that they were wrong. And that is rocking the United States of America right now, Jürgen.
Yeah, oh, for sure it is. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going to come out. I believe the Ides of March are going to be a great time for all of us who believe in truth. I think a lot of good things are going to come out.
Well, it's got to come out. You know, it's got to.
It has to, for sure. It's time. Well, it's fine.
You know what? We're ready. Yeah, and you know what? This hour has gone by really quick. Always does when I'm talking with you. So I'm going to thank you for coming in again this week, and I look forward to our next conversation. I'm going to let you leave a couple last thoughts with the audience and quick reminder where they can find you, and I'll have to say goodbye till the next time.
Well, thanks a lot, Barry, for having me. You can find me on BitChute at Wolfgang's Tavern. Please like my little videos. Share them out to your friends. It's all about information. It's little snippets. They're 45 to a minute long. Again, Wolfgang's Tavern on BitChute. Again, you know, I'd like to leave on a happy note. I've been an entertainer all my life. There was a time I was singing at a senior's home, and there was this woman sitting there, and she had a walker on this couch, and there was me and my partner, and I had my microphone, and I was walking through the crowd singing, and we just started this Elvis song, I Can't Help Falling in Love with You, and that's up on the internet, by the way. It's on YouTube somewhere if you can find it. Anyways, I was going through the crowd and all these seniors were there and they were loving it. And I was touching all these women and I can't help falling in love with you. Such a beautiful song. And this woman I had noticed during my entire performance wasn't able to move. She must have been 85, pushing 90 years old. She was very old, very feeble. She was sitting in a chair. She had both her hands on her walker. She had a left hand and a right hand on her walker, and that's where they stayed. And she never moved during the whole performance. You know, a lot of the seniors were tapping their feet. They were moving around a little bit. She never moved, and I thought, oh, my goodness, am I not good enough? I always felt insecure. Am I not performing well enough? But then as I was performing, I realized this woman is very, very frail, very sick. Perhaps she has Alzheimer's like my mother had. And so what I did was, as I'm singing this song, I walked over to her, and Barry, it was the most magical moment in my entire entertainment career, okay? Wow. And I've been in movies, I've done all kinds of things. As I was singing this song, I came to the part where I can't help falling in love with you. I touched her hand. Now, this woman was glazed over. Her eyes were glazed. There was nothing there. There was no life. When I was singing that part of the song and I touched her hand, her other hand came flying over to the top of my hand, Barry. I couldn't believe it. Her eyes, the spark came in her eyes. She had for a brief second, she had a glimpse of life and love. And for that one fraction of a second, I felt so complete in my entire entertainment career. It was never about money. It was always about making sure to make people smile and happy, and hopefully we can make people dance and get away from the worries of the world. But that one spark in her eyes, that one moment where she felt alive, where she could feel emotion, I'll tell you, Barry, it was the most magical moment of my entire entertainment career. I'm 72 years old. That happened when I was, I don't know, maybe 65 or 66.
Wow.
And
thanks for sharing.
You know, I played on stages all over the world, and that was magical. And I'd like to leave on that note. Life is magical, ladies and gentlemen. Let's keep it that way.
Thanks for sharing that, Jürgen. I got to let you go now. We're actually right on the hour here, Jürgen, so I'm going to shut out the show. I've enjoyed the conversation today immensely, folks. I'll be quite honest. I got out of bed this morning, and some days I just don't even feel like looking at this. But then get up, have my coffee, say a little prayer, and I'm ready to get back in the ring again. I hope you guys all come back next week. And thanks again for my guests. Thanks to Steve for what he's doing. Thanks for being here. Much appreciated. Have a great week. God bless you all. Bye for now.